Yeah, we're just starting.
Wooly, your equipment seems to be on the fritz.
The office equipment.
Uh-huh.
That our equipment.
Well, the only reason I say equipment is because you're the only one who uses that laptop because it's for the podcast only.
All right, we're coming in hot.
It's actually my laptop.
We're coming in hot, cold open. You know,
you got the space bar put back on it. I appreciate that.
Here's what I did, right? After all the previous shenanigans, I ripped open. I took the mixer and I physically opened it up and
cleaned the altimeters,
potentiometers,
whatever.
Yeah. And,
you took a Q-tip and some, WD-40 and you cleaned all the washers.
Yep. Well, I took all kinds of cleaning products, and I cleaned out the goddamn mixer so that we don't have any of those problems anymore. And that's great, and that's dealt with.
And now the mixer sounds great.
Yeah, the crackling should be and will be gone. However, that does not account for bullshit when the stream just drops. So what are you gonna do?
Hey, we have a guest this week.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, this is so weird starting it hot like this.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You get no comfortable music to rely on roll in.
This is okay. I'm used to this. And also, I love hi everyone, but I love that you guys clean out your mixer with cleaning products.
This is the first time we've ever done it, actually, I think.
Well, apparently you have to because it just when it sits like with all the open slots and everything, it just dust goes in. And when dust goes in, at some point you're talking and then you start sounding like a crackle man. And it sounds like your voice is going hoarse and then you don't know what's happening and you got to rip it open. And that's the only way.
Crackles, I'm familiar with crackles. I love them. And it's good to be here on the stream with you guys. Crackles or no crackles. It's just good to be here.
Hey, welcome. Oh, fuck this podcast.
Dude, I mean, it's not like you didn't know.
I'm just gonna start looking at cat videos.
It's not like you didn't know when and where and what was going on today. Can you just at least mute it? I'm done trying to convince you to not use your phone.
It is a goddamn dramatic tool I'm using here. I wasn't actually looking at cat videos.
Enjoy.
I typed in cat videos to fool you.
Hi, Vinny from Vine Sauce. What's going on?
Hi,
sir? How's it going?
What's up? I'm doing good, man. This is great to be here. I actually was thinking about the first time you and I met, Wooly, which is I don't remember.
That was PAX.
It was,
No, I'm not a very memorable guy. That's totally fine.
No. It was PAX 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
It must have been at least two, I think. I want to say two, yeah. And we both had our, signing meetup events right around the same time at the ScreenWave booth. And we were sat next to each other, and I believe we talked about Zeo Drifter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Were there scheduling conflicts? Did we, overlap? And, that's happened to us at least once or twice.
Yeah. We've had more than once. We've had our meetup and signing thing happening at the exact same time at the same table. And we both show up and all the fans show up whoa. Oops.
Just congested hallways and people from PAX being like, oh, why is this happening now?
Yeah, and then that one enforcer that was working for PAX that was just he's just like, no, everybody get in, everybody, more. pressing the lines together, and it was chaos and it was beautiful. And in the end, it worked out and it formed a little friendship here. So, hi, let's be friends.
You got it.
That was fucking lame.
Thanks for your help.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm the crackles, apparently. I've become crackle. So whatever crackles you've cleaned out of your system is now in my world. So I'm sorry I'm bringing the crackles to your stream.
No, you sound great.
You actually sound great to us.
You sound fantastic.
Okay, good, good.
And I'll tell you what, you're going to sound even better later.
Later.
When this is not live and people are listening to it in
the wonderful
proper,
audio podcast
true form.
Format.
In the true
is that a promise?
Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
No, wait. Don't promise.
It's a guarantee.
We've fucked that up before.
Okay.
You know,
I won't even... no expectations. None.
So here's the thing. We have a little saying that we plaster on everything, and that saying goes, if you want to...
I'm not following you.
We promise nothing.
Oh, and deliver less. Yes.
So
I need that tattooed on my dick.
Yep. Everyone needs to know. Okay. But by the time they get to that stage, it's too late.
Well, no.
It's never too late.
No, you know what? You know,
it's never too late to regret.
No, actually, you know, the trick is you get "I promise" tattooed on your dick, and then as your dick gets bigger, it goes, nothing. And then it's really a nice day and deliver less. Right.
That's a lot of characters.
And then it just coughs out like some dust.
You feel right. Confident in the amount of characters showing up on that
really
tattoo?
Small.
It's like a balloon inflating with like a picture on it, right?
Yeah. It warps. What kind of font we talking here, Pat?
I don't know fonts, man. I'm thinking Comic Sans.
Yeah. Can't go wrong. I mean, they're laughing anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Papyrus.
Uh-huh.
So why not just double down?
Well, how'd I get in this situation? Line? This is hilarious.
Right? Why not just double down on that punchline? Yeah, Papyrus wouldn't be bad. That'd be all right.
I'm totally unfamiliar with Papyrus.
That's the one that Papyrus talks in Undertale.
I hate that font.
Yeah, that's the other common overused one.
Gross.
I'm thinking a script that is typed in all caps.
Uh-huh.
So that it's like cursive capital letters that look terrible together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of messaging. Right on the schlong.
Right on.
I like this podcast. It starts strong.
It starts strong.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, Vinny, I got to ask.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that you're on the podcast. And
we just met today.
What was it like? What was going through your head when you decided to take on the dual task of inventing Vine and going into that isolation chamber for Vsauce?
Okay, so as terrible as that was, I have to say that I'm sure you get the Vsauce thing a lot.
Yeah, I do. Hi, everyone. It's me, Michael, from Vsauce. So here's the problem.
Your picture doesn't look bald.
No. Well, I have a Luigi hat on in the picture, and his tongue is out anyway. But yeah, so I get confused with Vsauce constantly, and you know, I have to kind of explain that I don't do science on the internet. They do, like, they have a great channel, I mean, but I'm just not on it. But true story, I actually started Vinesauce 3 months before Vsauce started in 2010, and I was able to compare the channel creation, and Vinesauce started a little bit before that, but then Vsauce became massive. And also, I did not create Vines, but most people that don't know what I do and are like, who is this guy? They're like, oh, you do Vines? Oh,
what are you doing? Oh.
So, I don't do any of that stuff.
The naming convention leaves a little something to be desired in terms of clarity, because I really thought,
yeah.
Why would I not think that the man created a Vine?
Yeah.
Vine.
Obviously.
You started Vinesauce before Vsauce got his channel going.
Yeah, well, I've also started before Vine, and then, you know, we've lived and after Vine, so we've had life after Vine.
Oh, Vine's dead, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Kinda, yeah. But I'll tell you guys who I am, because there's people who are curious, and I'll tell you. I am a jabroni. I do nothing of interest, and I just like, brute forced my way into this podcast, so don't worry about
that. Yeah. That works perfectly.
That's exactly what people need to hear. That's the right way to do it. That's the only way to get things done.
Are you a Mark S. Mark who may or may not work himself into shoots?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that in the wrestling lingo, are you just some random punk?
Well, he said
I am. I'm the heel.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
I shouldn't eat all that spice.
You knew what was happening.
I had
7 days to prepare.
I eat the spice before every podcast. And every podcast for the first half hour, I'm like, oh, my fucking face feels
dead. If you go dump ass.
I know. What? No, no.
If you go dumb spicy ass in the middle of the podcast,
you misunderstand.
I am taking that mic in there, and I'm fucking capturing it.
You misunderstand the dilemma. The dilemma is not ass space. That takes at least 24 hours. That's ridiculous.
It's not 24 hours.
It takes 24 hours.
For something to go through your body?
Yeah, dude.
No.
Yes.
It's less than that.
Yeah, Wooly.
Okay.
It takes a full day. Okay? The stuff that you...
You've got a microphone in front of your face, so you've got to be right.
The thing that you think is coming out of you from lunch an hour ago, that's yesterday's lunch.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because the new stuff is pushing the old stuff out because there's no room.
All right. So be sure to tweet later on today.
I'll tweet it right now.
When the spice is coming out and you're tasting it for the second time.
Yeah, I will.
Let everyone know.
No.
Did you take like a food challenge?
I ate spicy food yesterday too, so there's no way to tell. No, but yeah, the dilemma is mouth-based.
Okay.
My mouth feels like it was fucked by Satan.
What was it?
No.
Okay.
It was a nice spicy sandwich.
I mean, are you have comparative experience here?
You can imagine. You can brainstorm.
All right.
There's a thought process here.
Look, what we're supposed to do at this point, at some point, is get past the stupid banter and actually start talking about what happened in our relative weeks. So let's start with Vinny. If you can let us know, did you have a week?
What's going on with your life?
Did seven days occur in your life?
So I did a spicy food challenge and dumped ass on a podcast.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I had a week. I had a week. You could say that. Let's see. So a few games I've been playing. Do you know that Player Unknown Battleground game that everyone keeps talking about?
I don't.
Okay, so you'll probably hear more about it. It's a Battle Royale game developed by the dude who created the original Battle Royale stuff like DayZ and H1Z1. Okay. And this has got like the worst name ever. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. That's the name of it. I was like, what is this shit? I don't want to play this.
Think of something that Jim Sterling would play on his I'm going to make fun of indie games like category.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I had no interest in it because of the title. And then I ended up playing it. And then I played it again. And I played it again. And it's probably my favorite Battle Royale type game I've ever played. It's a mix of all those genres. It's like, you know, 100 players are dumped, pardon the word, into a map. And the map shrinks. And you have to scavenge for weapons and kill each other. It's really well done. And I've been a little addicted to that.
Can you describe the part where you say that the map shrinks? You mean over time?
Yeah, so over time, you have to get, you and your party have to get to a smaller part of the map, right? So you get in there and you have 5 minutes to like get into this little circle, and it's random every time you play. And that means that everyone else on the map has to go in there, and then the map shrinks again, and then again, and then again. And then within like 30 minutes, everyone's forced to fight each other with all the gear they found, and it's really good. It's pretty.
Like it solves one of Daisy's like biggest problems.
It does.
You could just stand on that radio tower for fucking until you starve to death.
Okay. Oh wait, I think I heard them talking about this on the Bombcast. Actually,
that may in fact be the worst title I have ever seen.
Player Unknowns is one word, and there's an apostrophe and then, at the end of it. Why?
Because, okay, so the dude who made it is Player Unknown, I've learned, and he's putting his stamp. He's like the Sid Meier of the Battle Royale genre.
Okay.
Completely different.
Okay, it's Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
You bet.
That's there you go. Still an awful, awful title.
Unfortunate is the term I would use.
What? So wait, this is made by the guy who DayZ?
Yep.
So how come DayZ's not
Because I think he left that. I don't know too well because I don't know this genre really well. I never played DayZ, but I'll tell you what. I think the guy just cut his losses and was like, you know what? I'm going to start again.
Vinny, I got to ask because you seem to know more about it than I do. You describe this as a Battle Royale game. Is that the genre we're calling these now?
I think so. Maybe this is what I've heard it described as. So I just kind of jumped on the bandwagon
because I've had like a recurring problem with this genre in that this seems like it's the game for me. Like it's the one I've been waiting for forever. And I'm like, man, can't wait for one of these to be finished. And every single time I get interested in one, like I think Rust had a big thing with this where Rust became an early access game. And then a year or two into its development, the developer started making another game before finishing Rust, and their community freaked out because none of these games ever get finished. Is this one finished?
This one is being worked on frequently, and it's already in a state that I think you would really enjoy it. You can take my word for it on this one. I know you don't really know me that well. However,
no, you sound cool.
Okay, thanks. But yeah, it's good. It's really good, and they're really actively working on it, and it's really well balanced, and it's fun. It's addictive as fuck.
The gimmick makes sense. Like the gimmick sounds like perfect for that.
Yeah.
Well, when you say when the sorry if I'm needling you over these all these questions, but
please.
But what?
Whoa!
Whoa! Did you open up the stream?
Did you open up the stream? No, it was open, but for some reason
make it stop.
I can
hear myself through infinity.
Oh no.
Bad.
Oh my god.
If you take too long to fix this, it's gonna get to me freaking out.
Okay. All right.
What was that?
I don't know. It was suddenly randomly the dashboard just popped.
Oh yeah?
So there's that.
This is the best podcast.
I want to know if it's Twitch's end.
We're making
or not.
A very good impression for your friend Vinny. He's just going to be so excited to tell people he was on this shitty podcast.
I've often said that streaming is 95% technical problems and 10% memes. So figure out those odds. But it's fine. I'm always dealing with tech problems on streaming. With streaming, you're good.
We've been clear for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
now,
dude. And then all of a sudden,
I brought the pain.
Can't stop it.
Is it because, okay? So, like I was saying, I hate to needle this, but when you describe the area, the map getting smaller in terms of like everybody has to get into the circle, what kind of scale are we starting at versus what kind of scale are we pushing towards? Are we talking like the Arma / DayZ like absurdity of the 100-kilometer map, or are we starting with something a little more reasonable?
Again, I never played DayZ, so I couldn't give you a really good comparison. But the map is it's in Russia, Sukha. So there's a whole big map, and you get all of it at first, and you jump from a plane, and then you land with your team or alone anywhere you want on the map if you can get to it. And then about, let's say it closes to about 60% of the map, a big blue barrier closes in. And if you get caught in the barrier, you lose a little bit of health until you get into the safe zone.
Oh, it's literally a fucking advancing wall of death.
Yeah. So as that happens, then it'll close in and it'll say 3 minutes to get to the next point. And then you'll get like half of that area and then you get in there. And and then if you get caught in the fog, the blue barrier more, you lose more health.
But it
really forces people to get together, and it also forces you to stay, you know, on your feet. It forces you to do, you know, all your scavenging really quickly, camping less, and it's great. It really is a very addictive and fun game, and I think I was shocked that I loved it as much as I did. So
does it, like, would you say that those are the additions that kind of, like, solidify the genre a bit more in the sense that, like, is there more? Are there more things that you think are still missing from this type of battle royale sort of game? Because DayZ came along and was a pretty good start that a lot of people jumped on, and this seems to add a couple things that you want to fix, like the camping problem. Are there things
sit in this fucking tower for 3 days?
Yeah. Do you think there are things that like are still problems that exist within this type of genre, or like would you say that this is like just like a solid step that is pretty complete feeling?
I would say it feels more simplified than, like, for example, there's no tainted chicken. You can't like hold someone prisoner and you can't feed them like raw chicken until they die. So there's that. There's also no building, you know, there's no destruction. There are vehicles, however. It's kind of a step in the right direction, but also it simplifies things so that you're always having some kind of fun. It's a very, very refined take on this genre. So I think there's still probably more improvements, but fuck if I could think of them.
I got to say, I'm thinking about this, and I feel bad for the developers of Arma, because Arma is a, I would describe it as hyper niche military shooter, but they're going to get known as they provided the map that spawned the genre, because DayZ is based off the Arma map, like that Russian zone.
Yeah.
And they all pretty much have that that kind of area of like rolling Russian countryside with small towns and shit like that.
I mean, that's how it kind of works, though, isn't it? Like, there's always like the main thing, and then there's the side project that, or like mod that like, becomes way
like
bigger.
How Warcraft 3 is now a footnote to the MOBA.
Counter-Strike. The existence of Counter-Strike.
Well, I don't know about that one, because Half-Life remains like shit.
But like, in terms of just like the amount of money that entire series of games made, spawning off of another game's like back, it's just the way things work nowadays. You know, with the like whatever hit PC game or like PC genre takes over, it feels like it's usually coming off of a mod of some kind that just gets everybody's attention.
Yeah, a lot of the creativity and like the pushing of the boundaries usually comes from just people, you know, at home, or like people who want to make something that they would play, and they're not going necessarily for a market. They're just like, oh, I want to play a game like this where you're in a, you know, countryside, you have to survive, and you can force people to eat tainted chicken. And that's kind of like where the battle royale thing, if you want to call it that, survival, you know, battle royale, whatever you want to call it, came from. And now it's been done a bunch. I mean, the Culling was pretty interesting for a little while, and this takes PlayerUnknown takes some elements from the Culling and puts it into this thing and kind of swirls it around into a more interesting version. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad for the Arma guys, too, but they'll still have a market when Arma 4 comes out, I think.
Okay. Let me just take a second here, because...
Oh, no, what broke now?
Well, it's just that I feel like it might be Twitch, but it's just jumping up and down and up and down. And
what's
like
jumping up and down?
Like the stream?
Oh.
Like the actual, like, whatchamacallit, XSplit's been going fine.
It's on a trampoline.
Exactly. So I'm going to take a second to see if I can address this real quick.
While we're off camera, I'm going to put a gun in my mouth.
That's a plan. So we'll be right back.
It's just one of those days.
Give it a second.
Let's see. What was the insightful conversation? So you wanted to hire a robot and die.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Is that the spicy food talking, or is that, you know, depression?
Just one of those days.
Tell
man.
Me.
Just one of those days.
What happened in your childhood?
A lot. Like, a lot. Like, whoa. All
right, take me back to the first moment you felt pain.
I remember I was at a soccer game, and my parents were like, you should play with the other kids. And the instant I was separated from my parents, I started bawling my eyes out. And then the other kids were like, look at this bitch.
Live in five.
And then they were all like, I think that's real. That is a real story.
Okay, there we go. We should be back.
Yeah. Hey, me and Vinny were just talking about my childhood.
So the pain that you felt at that moment has never really subsided.
Oh, hell no. Oh, soccer's for losers.
Man, that sucks.
Yep. Childhood trauma all the way.
Oh, there's so much. I could tell you.
And that's how we got here.
Oh, man.
Yep. Okay.
All comedy is just tragedy viewed from the other side.
Well, you know, the best comics are the most fucked up ones.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like when somebody falls down and hurts themselves, that sucks for them, but oh man.
Mm.
It's just great. Man, you look frustrated, Wooly.
I'm not at my wit's end.
Tell me about your childhood. Actually, you've done that like
how much more do you need?
You've done that like crazy.
Dropped off in the island jungles.
Tell me about the dog that broke the chain chasing after you. Tell that story again.
I Mowgli'd my way back to society, and here we are on YouTube. What else is there to say?
What a success story. Amazing.
You know, maybe someday a man with a cutlass will show up, and that'll be my end.
I feel like this is the best possible fucking Halloween costume for you and your girlfriend, in which you dress up like in like hilarious like kindergarten level clothes, and she dresses up as a guy with a cutlass.
I mean, that would be hilarious, but also not fun for me.
Okay, but it's fun. It's I don't care. It's for me.
Okay. Well, no, I don't want to.
I
do
want
that.
To see it.
Okay.
Wait, would that actually traumatize you?
No, but I wouldn't enjoy it. There's a difference between trauma and just that doesn't make me feel
man,
good.
No, man, do it for your art.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we need to do that.
And that pain has followed you all the way back to XSplit and haunts us to this very day.
I would describe today's podcast as sloppy.
Yeah. And we'll have to see what...
Sometimes it's good when it's sloppy.
We'll have to see what OBS has to offer, I suppose, if this is the only thing I can get out of XSplit and it's not Twitch's side.
It's possible that the computer just needs like a full
tune-up and clean-up. Yeah, I did some of that too, to be honest. But...
You can never scrape it all
spray
off.
Some orange glow in the circuits. Orange glow circuits.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and whatever. Like, I don't know. XSplit costs money. So, you know,
yeah.
It's fine.
That's the worst part about XSplit.
Yeah, well.
This is a problem I have.
How's that?
At least every few weeks.
What do you use, Vinny? I'm curious.
XSplit.
You use XSplit?
Yeah. Mm, okay.
So like, do you use OBS problems. Or do you have like? Are you just fully like? No, man. I like.
I've used OBS on a number of occasions. I'm used to XSplit. I like its functionality that I can just drag and drop pictures into it. Because we do art at the end of my streams, and
that'll do it.
It's a very there's a lot of good that XSplit has to offer, but I thought it was the chosen one, and it betrayed its brethren, and it just lets me down. Like at least every few weeks, so yeah, it's
that
a shame.
Pretty handy.
This reminds me of my all-time favorite Onion video, which is Sony releases stupid piece of fucking shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
No, yeah, wait, that's the right. Alternate title. It's release a stupid fucking thing that doesn't fucking work.
Okay, sure. Yeah, no, that's about right.
Thanks, Sony.
Anyway, whatever tech issues.
Back to Vinny's childhood. Let's try to week.
Is it? Would it be? Sorry, I just noticed. Is it because of 60 frames per second?
It might be. That increases the CPU load enormously.
We threw that up for the Soul Stream.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, maybe I should.
The Souls. Did you actually keep it at 60?
Why
would you do that?
I'm gonna pull it back down.
Also,
to 30.
Why would you kick it up to 60 for like the PS4 version of Souls? The people at home don't give a shit.
Oh, we're dropping it down to 30. Sorry. All right. Maybe that's that.
But now the smoothness of my wonderful cherubic face will be de-emphasized.
Oh, the audio listeners are loving this.
Oh, part. They know what I fucking look like.
All right.
I look like a slightly younger, more overweight Louis C.K. with slightly more hair. And I will fight people that say I don't have as much hair because I do have more.
Idiot. All right. Okay. We should be 30.
Oh, man. Are we going to have the audio listeners call in this week and think again that like this voice that I'm speaking with now is coming out of your body?
I mean, I don't know, but I can't say that I hope this makes a difference. It should. That's reasonable. To assume.
Let's all get together and make a difference.
I think that's a good assumption. Yeah. And if we believe hard enough, the 30 frames a second will save the podcast.
Well, thankfully, 60 FPS audio is something
that's high quality, man.
The listeners can always enjoy as long as they're listening only. So,
the fuck is Ultra HD audio?
Yeah, 1080p audio.
Yeah, Ultra HD. Dude, you have to, it's so weird when terms like HD become regularized.
They just stop meaning what the fuck they mean.
Exactly. And then you just it takes about 5 to 10 years before you can buy an HD sandwich, from a fucking fast food joint.
I think my current favorite one is HD sunglasses.
I was about to mention those things. You put them on and it makes the colors more vivid, right?
Oh God. What the hell?
Yeah. And that comes from like this weird specific misunderstanding of HD in that it's jackasses who kick their saturation too high on their new televisions and they go, "Oh man, the colors pop so much." Yeah, cuz they're fucking inaccurate, you stupid ass.
Well, the other thing is HDR, like high dynamic range, is getting abused in a way.
HDR makes no sense. There've been like three different definitions. I mean technical definitions. I remember when Valve invented it.
Okay.
And it was a Bloom technology. And then it became a fucking TV technology.
Well, the
and then there's a third one in there.
Well, the HDR that I'm familiar with is the photography technique.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's
in which you're, when you take pictures and you keep the exposure open for longer
lots
and you bleed more light in,
yeah,
and you get a really like distorted reality, but it looks pretty.
Well, the stupidest part is that they all HDR in all three of those situations all mean high dynamic range.
But they're defining completely different things.
Completely different things.
Yeah. And then you start and then you start taking that and applying it to like audio, you know, and other weird shit. Because
people get confused because then you go ADR. I got an ADR audio. It's HD.
God. Isn't ADR what you do for movies when you don't have audio on a character?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. You go into a booth. And you know.
Completely.
And unrelated note too, but. Ahead. Gold cables, like from like Best Buy, they sell like the HD HDMI cables that are like $50,000. It's just what extra? How are we doing this? What is this?
Just cut your own. It's really easy.
Back when I got my first HD TV, I totally got suckered into getting like a fucking monster power bar, the fucking $200 gold plated. It keeps out bad energy, and like.
It's a spirit catcher.
Surround exactly. Put crystals around it.
Charge them crystals.
Cleanse. And like, I'll admit, I appreciated it was a very low power bar with like a lot of connectors. But
oh, Christ what a bunch almighty, of shit. Man! No, they. I mean, if it's not the fucking warranty and the safe protection guarantee and this and that, then it's crap like that. Shit, charging you bullshit for wires that are pennies to make. And using HD just to mean better to people that don't otherwise pay attention to that stuff. Yep. If it fucking like if it's selling and if it makes things move off the shelves, then can you blame them for throwing the word HD on it? You know.
Hey guys, I want to thank you for coming out to this week's version of the HD Super Best Friend Cast. Now in HD.
Yeah, the audio is especially HD.
Also,
ultra HD audio.
4K.
HD Vine Sauce. Basically, Vine Sauce is V Sauce with a few extra letters. So I'm HD V Sauce.
This is absolutely, yeah. There we go. This is the first 4K audio podcast. We're doing it. We're pioneers. It's pretty amazing. All right. So
we're actually a 44K audio podcast. Think of how many extra Ks that is.
It's a lot of Ks, but you could get 48 and be studio
That's
quality.
11 times higher than your average 4K podcast.
Oh man.
Dude, a 4K podcast would sound like absolute fucking trick. Can you even record in that?
It wouldn't go. We just honestly at a certain point you just record raw.
Yeah.
Just record raw and upload raw
on a vinyl.
No. It is said that if you close your eyes and you listen closely, it sounds like the people are in the room with you when you listen to that kind of audio.
Well, if we're gonna go that way, we're gonna get fucking binaural fucking setups.
Yep.
We're gonna do binaural setups, Willie.
Yeah, I mean, dude, let's do. You guys can do one in each ear. You know, you do ASMR podcasts. You whisper it, and then I'll just be behind clanking pots and pans.
The super best Franken.
No, only if I can it. Like only if we can like convert it to. Like hardware that is archaic, but like maintain some integrity, like actual floppy disks.
Okay.
Yeah. So we take our massive like 2 terabyte episode of the podcast, and we throw it on floppy disks, and we make that available to everybody. Sounds good.
No.
Okay.
I've given up on the idea.
Well, we
back to WAV files.
We can,
MP3s, whatever. I don't
we can go. Sure. We can go back to Vinny's week.
Oh boy!
And try to resume what a semblance detour. Of
okay.
a normal podcast. I don't know. Maybe that's a good idea.
I'll tell you what. I do have a few things that I can tell you about. How's that sound? Video games. We can go back to video games.
Oh god,
man! You know, dude. Sometimes video games.
I came to this conclusion right before we started recording that video games are totally pointless and I'm wasting my life.
All right, take us away. Take it away.
I'll take it away.
You can take us away.
After you.
You know, it's funny because you guys cut out a little bit, but I'm pretty sure Pat said he hated video games.
I did say that. I did say I hate video games.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but I assumed it. It's all good, man. I do too. I'll tell you what made me hate video games this week. A game called Strafe.
Oh no!
Oh boy!
I was so excited
Strafe
for that game. We did a big excited video that on the channel a while ago.
Yeah, I actually played the alpha. I was really excited about it. I was into the whole presentation of it. I liked the idea, like, feel like a badass, you know, back to the 90s, shoot things in the face with pixel guns and shit. And I was like, yeah. And then it comes out, and it's not even, like, in a beta form. It just came out, like, fully released. Mm-hmm. And it feels run backwards and shoot simulator. Mm-hmm. It's just, you keep running backwards. There's no health pickups. The enemies just swarm you, and you have no choice but to just run away, always running away, and get lucky. And the levels are totally uninspired, and it just feels like it's a half-baked idea that just came out as a full release. And that's the thing. Like, I really wanted Strafe to be good. I think it can be better with updates. I think they can fix it. But in its current form, I'm sadly really disappointed. I think it could be something eventually where it's like, okay, Doom that came out last year, that game had you running towards enemies. You felt like a badass because you were a badass in that game. And Strafe, you kind of just feel like, oh God, I'm about to die. There's no health pickups. I got to run away. So
I'm curious to
disappointing.
Know what you thought. I'm curious to know what you thought of the initial demo they released.
It's promising. I thought it was really promising.
You enjoyed the first taste of the game.
Yeah. Did you play it?
Yeah, we played it on the channel, I believe. And
we sure did.
We really enjoyed that demo, but I don't think any of us have
seen it.
It was
very exciting to me.
We just kind
same
of
here.
I was completely sold on its premise.
And then 2 days ago, or so, maybe 3 days, whatever, last week, Matt and Pat told me that there is a life-changing trailer.
And despite whatever Vinny's saying now, that troll, God, why is it happening to me now?
I don't know.
Oh.
But I should have probably watched it. I didn't, but I will right after this. And that's all I heard. So this is the first impression I'm hearing
that trailer
of the final game. And
well, I want you to make up your own mind. You know, if you might like it, obviously you might like it more than I did. I think it's got potential. It needs some updates, but it's definitely got a great engine, and the combat is cool. But, you know, again, I played the demo, and I think the devs were in my chat when I streamed it, and, you know, I thought it was really promising, and then something just ended up not clicking for me. But on the opposite side of that, you know how early access is always given shit? Like, people are like, you know, stop releasing alphas.
I am one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, this week, I played one of the best early access games I've ever played, Dead Cells.
Okay. Tell me about this, because I was in a situation in which I heard everybody talking about it on Twitter, going, oh man, Dead Cells is the shit, right? And I went to its Steam page, and that Steam page is very promising looking. The trailer they have, the screens. And then I went to click on it, and it said early access, and I tabbed out of the page.
Yeah.
It's a very surprisingly complete early access game. The gameplay is fucking tight. It's really good. It's like Castlevania Symphony of the Night with more tight controls.
Yep.
It's a rogue light Castlevania Metroidvania type game. It's addictive. It's really fun. The gameplay is great, and the graphics are nice. The music is nice, but the sense of progression you get each time you die, like, you don't mind dying in this game because there's always stuff that you're working on unlocking. Even for an early access game, there's apparently like 11 big levels, 50 weapons, and they're looking to double that. So what they did was they offered half the game. But it's like done. It's in a complete form and it feels really good. They didn't say we're going to release a broken ass game in early access so we can, you know, like work on it later. No. They actually worked on this thing and it came out of nowhere. I hadn't even heard about this game until a few days ago. Picked it up. Love it. I got like 6 hours in it in the past few days. Strafe, I played a half hour. I was like, eh.
So the way you're describing this is instead of being a, let's say, 75% complete content-wise game that is like rough, they literally just finished and polished the first half and released the first half.
Okay. But they polished the fuck out of it.
Okay, well then that, man, there needs to be a different It's, early access is such a broad term that is so all encompassing. Oh my God, I'm staring into the abyss.
It's because it's one of those games that I think we discussed it on the podcast. We brought it up once, and we definitely talked about the trailer because my brain doesn't, I
don't even want to call that early access if that's what it actually is.
But I feel like anytime something pops up that is entering the like pixel art. Roguevania is the word they use in the trailer, right? Mm-hmm. So it enters that sort of thing. Like we notice, go, hey, what's that? And discuss it. And like, there's some that are still on the way. We still haven't seen quite a few that were on Kickstarter and stuff. But yeah, I feel like that's one genre that I don't mind if there's a bunch of them. But I kind of feel like there was a point where. What am I trying to say? Sorry.
I don't know.
There's an oversaturation point.
Yeah, and it happened a little bit with the 2D Dark Souls games, for example.
Okay.
Yep.
And
I think there's a phrase you're looking for, and the phrase is born to die.
Perhaps. and it's when you look at it, right? And it's when you look at the game and you look at the trailer and you see everything that you are interested in. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why you're not going to grab it right away is because there are five others that you also want to get through. And I'm afraid of that happening with this genre a little bit.
But, it already kind of has, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that 2D Roguevania, Metroidvania kind of thing, absolutely.
But, I mean, that being said, like, yeah, that trailer looks phenomenal. Like, everything about what we just saw there looks really cool. And
can we have Vinny on the podcast more? Because he's giving me good games that I either didn't look at or didn't know of that I should play.
Well, you know, that's always
can you just give me a list every day, Vinny?
Well... That's all I got. but yeah, that's I would recommend if you're a Castlevania fan of the Metroidvania Castlevanias, then I think this is a game for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who says that Castlevania starts at Symphony of the Night.
No, I like all Castlevanias.
I am mocking my friend here who in a moment ruffled. Of
You ruffled a feather?
Head all the way up his own ass.
You rustled a Jimmy?
Castlevania starts at Symphony of the Night.
In an attempt to ruffle as many feathers in the room as possible.
Oh, they are ruffled forever, man.
I got the Jimmys all upside down.
That's almost as bad. It's not as broad, but I remember when you and
Resident
Matt
Evil starts do at
that
4.
Fucking no, it's not that one. That one's not, because I can actually see that mentality.
Some people
I can
actually
it.
Believe that.
The one that got me is that when you and Matt played fucking Umbrella Chronicles, you look over at me and go, so glad I waited for the better version of these games.
I played the pure Resident Evil experience in the form of the shooters.
Fucking vomiting.
Learned
my
the
own
whole
mouth.
Story and got everything out of it. And then the successful follow-up sequel, the Dark Side Chronicles.
Now, at least Dark Side Chronicles has like new scenarios in it.
but that being said, like I guess that... I'm still a little bit shocked about Strafe because, like, I'm like, yeah, that's the first negative I've heard on it. But I want to go see more full impressions because
check the Steam reviews and you'll see it's been lambasted a bit. Sadly, it's a shame. I really do believe they can fix it though. This is not an unattainable goal. It's just it needs a little bit of work. But it's you know again you might like it. You know, be the judge. And I think there's something there. Some people are going to enjoy it a lot more than I did.
Well, the guy who's not here, Matt, is the biggest mark out for it. And I think I'm anxiously going to await his feedback as well, besides of course, my own, to see what he thinks about it. Because, that was one of the games he was really, really excited for this early 2017.
I've met Matt, right?
Yeah, Matt was at PAX as well, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I've spoken to him a few times, yeah.
He's the guy with the skull beanie.
Is he alive?
Right now he's in doll form.
Right, I mean he's alive in the sense that like
we have a doll of him
here, but also
in spirit.
Yeah, he's on a like
he's on a family thing.
He's on a family vacay thing. So
gotcha. Okay.
He's probably arguing about the turns right now.
Yeah, he probably has his Switch with him.
Probably
he's fine.
Well, he is the Switcher. Fuck that.
Whoa,
name stealing our YouTube channel.
You're on timeout. All right. Oh, so
so I can just talk over it through your mic, right?
I know, but it hurts your voice in the end.
I can do this all day, and you know it.
All right. So
hey, I'm back. Hey, everybody.
That's pretty good.
I can literally do that all day. You have no power over my audio.
I mean,
now what you know, what you need,
you're tempting me to.
Well, no, do you know what you really need? You really need to do mm-hmm. is hook up the setup so that my mic is going into a different recording,
and you hear it in your own ear.
No, 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 no. So I'm being like, it's coming out onto the stream.
Yeah,
combined.
Yeah,
but the audio is you have your audio and you have Vinny's audio okay. and you have mine.
Okay,
and then you can just fucking phantom me out of the podcast so that there are like weird 30 second stretches of silence, and then Vinny goes, "Oh, whatever."
The entire then, experience. Yep. Yep.
This is what it like. This is what it would be like.
It'd be awesome if noise removal were smart enough to hear a sample of you talking. And oh. then just
people, and then I respond with spicy dump hole, and people are like, "What is he talking about?"
It starts to it picks up the words like melee, Resident Evil, tank controls, etc., and just auto removes it.
Oh man, that'd be fantastic. Boy. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors.
Let's do that.
Before we jump into the next week. So today,
who's sponsoring this podcast, this wonderful podcast?
Well, today our sponsors come from our friends over at Loot Crate.
Hey, Loot Crate, what up?
Loot Crate, well, we're not talking to Loot Crate, we're talking to the listeners.
I don't know what I expected.
I mean, they're not going to answer.
I part of me expected one of you to... Even our guest, Vinny, I don't know why I expected this of you, buddy.
What?
But to anthropomorphize the idea of Loot Crate and go,
oh, okay, God. Well, can I tell you what you should expect?
Yes.
A crate full of goodies shipped straight to your God. Door.
That makes that much more sense than
that
my
was a
gimmick.
Pro segue.
Yo, Vinny, I'm going to teach you a few things. Keep listening. We're all talking right. about, we're talking about. We're talking about a service that you can subscribe to over at lootcrate.com/super. And you sign up, and you're getting a crate that's valued at over $45 a month worth of stuff for less than $20 a month. This month, as there's a theme every month, last month's theme was investigate, and you had things coming in from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, Jessica Jones, and so on. So this theme, we're going with Guardians, obviously.
I wonder what film will have merchandise.
What properties show up in this thing?
Obviously, Star Wars.
Obviously, if you guessed Destiny and the Goonies, you'd be correct.
Man, Destiny totally has Guardians.
Yeah, you would be right. correct. But
wait,
perhaps maybe. Perhaps maybe Guardians of the Galaxy 2 stuff
it's possible.
Is going to show up in there. It's not possible. It's a guarantee.
So minions? No minions?
I mean, I'm not going to say there's no minions because you never really know, but it might be.
We will not guarantee minions.
Okay, there's, all right.
There's an asterisk next to that statement. But one lucky subscriber also wins the Mega Crate. So there's a little chance that you can get the giant 22.5-inch Groot figure as well if you get lucky. So you want to head on down once again to lootcrate.com/super, promo code super. Save $3 on your new subscription. And, what's better than getting a little bit of a taste of a con in a box every month, huh? I love that feeling of not knowing what I ordered and getting it straight to my door and being like, hey, I bought myself something.
So there is one downside to that, but can't happen with Loot Crate. Because Loot Crate, it's consistent, right?
Yeah.
But the process of I'm going to get myself a gift in the future can fail when you just get it for yourself multiple times because it's too far into the future.
Oh.
I have done this with art books. Luckily, Loot Crate sidesteps that problem by once a month, different crate every month.
How about that? Right?
Very cool.
I have three of the same Persona art book.
Yeah, that was your
because
that was your mistake.
Every time I would get the email notification saying it was delayed, I would go, oh, that seems like a good book. I should buy that.
Unbelievable. Don't be like this idiot. Get yourself over at lootcrate.com/super.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
Thank you. Podcast also sponsored this week by DSC.
Ooh, what is DSC? Are they a new no, they're not. You just fooled me with their cool acronym.
You know what DSC
it's
is.
It's Dollar
all
Shave Club.
There you go. We are horrible neck beards with all kinds of
I got a full thing
fungal
going
growth going on beneath
get,
the nose.
I whoa, what?
Vinny, do you shave from time to time?
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, perhaps if perhaps you seem like a well-groomed individual that probably doesn't need to worry about this sort of thing. But horrible freaks like us,
oh, man,
swamp creatures like us, really do need to, from time to time, get rid of the muck. And what better way to do that than to head on down to our local pharmacy and find out that, oh no, I'm being treated like a criminal for buying a razor.
Can I have that overpriced razor, please? Yes, I will submit to fingerprinting.
Put these handcuffs on. Go sit in that cell. We'll get your blades for you. Just sit right
there. You know, I'll be honest, that's not even the worst part. The worst part is most grocery stores, when you go to get them, it's only the one cash that has them, sure. And that's also the cash that they do the lotto at.
Sure.
Which means grandma with her 45, 649s is in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to buy one.
Do I have to call my lawyer to get this transaction done? Holy shit.
Can you just die already?
Well, you don't have to despair through that garbage anymore, because Dollar Shave Club is here for you by, again, they're sending you what you need every month to take care of that mess and turn it into something sharp. Specifically, Dollar Shave Club.
Keep looking right at me.
I have no one else to look at. I need an example of a horrible face accident happening, and you're right here.
Oh, no.
But I would look in a mirror if it were nearby. It's getting rough. DollarShaveClub.com/friendcast. It's the place you go to get $15, a $15 value in each box for only $5, and you're getting your full set of cartridges. You're getting your tube of Dr. Carver's
shave butter.
A personal favorite. And of course, you know, you're with that executive razor plan, you're getting like there's the body wash, there's the soaps that you get. The Matterhorn.
It's not just blades.
It's
though
great.
It does also include blades.
Yeah. It's good stuff, and I highly, highly do recommend it, because I still do use that stuff, and it's mm-hmm. great. It smells good. The website to go to is dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast, and yeah, get yourself in on it. Don't be treated like the criminal you possibly are. I mean, I don't know. I
swear to God, I've watched every Game of Thrones episode legit on the television.
Right? Right?
I'm not.
It's not like our wallpapers on our phones are fan art, which is super.
Don't race super your illegal. Neck beard to your chest hair.
No.
Shave it.
But at dollarshaveclub.com/friendcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Dollar Shave Club.
You saved me there. All right.
Can I sponsor you guys one day? I have a product called Butt Butter.
I will sponsor it.
It's at Comic-Con. And it's when they make popcorn and then someone beefs in the aisle. It's not a good time, but I can use, you know what?
I'll sponsor that.
We do have an episode called Butter Poopers Have a Lot of Groundswell.
Yeah.
So it,
there's oh, a shit.
Precedent. There's a precedent
you're,
set.
You're, I gotta say, Wooly, one of the things that you do that genuinely impresses me, and maybe it's because you spend so much more time with the podcast, you seem to actually know the names of almost all of our podcasts.
I had to sit and stare at them. So, yeah. There's a lot of good ones out there. There's a lot I've forgotten, but there's some memorable classics that definitely keep us out
of
the PC.
Those Butter Poopers, they just have a lot of ground swell.
Some classics that keep us out of the ranking for PC Mag's listenable podcasts.
Oh, that sucks.
There's a really great bit, Vinny, where someone What's wrote up? In from PC Mag and basically went like, you know, I keep trying to recommend you guys because you're a good podcast, but every time the editor sees the list of your titles, they freak the fuck out and look at me and wonder what the fuck I'm talking about or doing. And furthermore, we always get a kick out of when people write in and tell us that they're sitting at their coffee shop and they open up iTunes and Aryan Resurrection pops up.
That's like 65, right?
And they have to look around and slam the laptop shut, panicked.
I think there was a guy wrote
stares.
In and said, like, this cute girl came up to talk to me and saw the podcast I was listening to and then, like, ran away.
That makes sense. That makes sense, you know. So,
ew, the super best friends, gross.
Yeah, it's not. I don't try to outdo each one. I just capture the essence of the big laugh.
And it's natural, dude. It's natural,
and you know. But at the same time, I believe you said at one point, Pat, that the person that sees that on your laptop or phone screen and like bursts out laughing, you know that person.
We want to bring in that Jim Norton.
You know that person's a scumbag just like you, and you found a friend for life. Right?
Or at least until they scumbag all over you.
Well, that's another
I don't want to know what that entails. But I was going to mention the podcast that I do, which is very infrequent. Sorry.
When I was looking up on your wiki, it was described as infrequent.
Infrequent is a nice way to put it. We might be doing another one, KY and I, but we have some interesting titles. Nothing particularly filthy, but our... So the previous podcast we did, we watched the Minions movie and did commentary to it. But the problem is, sadly, we didn't pay much attention to the movie. So it ended up being kind of like a mishmash of just unrelated shit and Minions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not my finest moment. And then the previous one was called Loaf of Salami. So that's our best title. We got Loaf of Salami. Nothing PC Gamer or PC Mag or whatever you said would write it, you know, in about, but
that
Loaf
sounds
of
respectable.
It's a raised eyebrow. What's the name of your podcast, sir?
If people were two on the vine. Thanks, Willie. All right. We got one called Stinky Pinky, so that's a good one.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That conjures up some imagery.
Is it tough to release podcast? I'm regretting this joke as I say it.
That's a new one, but now you have to get through it.
There's a self-awareness here.
Is it tough to get podcasts out in 6-second bursts to get like a full hour? Because Vines.
Well, considering my busy science schedule, yeah, it's tough, man.
You should have tapped out.
We
forced
once.
You back in, and we should have seen the signs. That was rough.
Yeah.
Hey, so should we rotate?
Yeah, let's rotate.
Let's.
If Vinny, do you have more to say about your week?
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Sounds good.
All right, mm-hmm. Let's rotate.
All right.
Willie, I'll leave it up to you to decide where to rotate.
I'll rotate your way.
Oh, God.
Let's rotate over to you.
Speaking of rotating. Wait, no, shit. I had a secret. Fuck. Oh, whatever.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I watched The Room a few weeks ago. This is documented.
Okay.
And then Matt
The Room
watched it again, and then you watched it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
On this kick, my girlfriend has decided that that's not enough, that now I need to... I'm being jumped in to that world, the world of just the worst movies, and I was convinced to watch the other worst movie in the world, the one that actually rivals
Man of the Hands of Fate.
No, it's up there.
Troll 2.
That rival. Oh no, it's Birdemic.
Oh,
Which one was
that? So Birdemic is directed and written by a man named James Nguyen. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I never know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry, guys.
Nguyen.
Nguyen?
Sometimes.
I've heard every variant of how I'm supposed to.
When, sometimes.
Yeah, or when, even.
When, yep.
And I feel very confident in saying this man is an asshole because he made this movie and it hurts.
Okay.
It's the worst.
Was it Birdemic or Birdemic 2?
Birdemic.
Okay.
Birdemic 2 is his remake of the first Evil Dead 2 with more production and is way worse.
Gotcha.
Way worse in a bad way because it's not fun. It's they're trying to play into it kind of crap.
Straight out of Toronto.
Dude, it makes me want to die. So, you ever see The Birds with the Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah, the Hitchcock
classic.
Birds. Yep.
Okay, well, now let's replace that with the worst acting in the world, what may be the most inconsistent and loud room hiss and fucking outside wind hiss in every scene I've ever heard. But all you know, that's par for the course for this kind of crap, right? When it really starts to kick it up is when they see the dead bird on the beach that foreshadows the incoming disaster.
Okay.
And it's a JPEG of a fucking CG eagle upside down on the beach.
Okay, so I'm getting that this is a 2008 movie, so it's actually pretty recent.
Yes.
It's a recent bad movie.
Okay. And like, is it self-aware?
No. No, it is not.
This, and you can confirm this.
The second one is self-aware, and that's the problem.
always the
problem. But Birdemic 1 is very not self-aware as these actors do their best as they run from what appears to be the same three clip art animated GIFs of Eagles in every scene.
Okay.
But no, that's not... Okay, you... Like, none of the... Okay, none of... Okay, well, you see that shot with the fires down to the bottom?
Yep.
The flames, click
yep,
on that.
We're looking at screenshots of Birdemic.
Okay,
shock
so...
Shock and terror.
Those images of those birds are going to be used in every scene, and the fires happen when fucking birds hit the home,
so
and they make missile noises, and then the houses burst into flame.
So the birds are always seen from the dead center front
or from
view.
The side or from the back.
Okay,
there are
so
no
they do,
angles.
Okay, they do have like two GIFs that they use. I see.
That is
Birdemic, Shock and Terror. Who
they
will
are
survive.
CG birds, and there are scenes of the characters running nearly in place and shooting into the air as we pan to just static shots of GIFs of CG eagles.
Okay.
For like 40 minutes.
Okay. What kind of star power are we talking here?
Nothing.
All right.
But that's like a 2 minute scene of them just failing at
all
those
right,
GIFs.
We're looking at three teenagers in front of a car. And a bunch of back 3D birds seen from the back. So it seems like he's actually got like at least three that he's working with.
Okay,
back angle, front angle, and perfect profile.
That's not even the worst part.
The worst
part is that, oh God, I hate James Nguyen so much. The worst part is before the Birdemic,
uh-huh.
the characters, they go to the movies, right? And they see movies, and they start talking about the movie in the parking lot. And with the acting that you deserve, they discuss, boy, that was an amazing movie, that Inconvenient Truth. I'm going to buy a hybrid for sure because we're destroying the planet. And they talk about that for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then later on in the film, they meet a climate scientist studying the birds. He goes, well, you know, in the history, sometimes animals attack when their environments are threatened. And they talk to him for like 10 minutes. And then they meet the hippie in the woods who's like, oh, I have to stay, protect the trees. You see how the birds don't attack me because I'm a... And like, it's just the most overwrought, like, hippie fucking...
Like, so what you're saying is this movie's woke.
Like, okay. Okay, so... Like, it might as well have the main character stand up and go, you know, humans really are the... But he's standing next to, like, children that have been disemboweled by birds. And he's like, wow, we really... And I'm like, I want to... Oh, and that new scene is talking about the dead polar bears. And it's fucking... And then the birds just leave at the end.
I was going to say, how do they stop
so
the pandemic?
They're fighting the birds, and
the
birds
of love.
Just fly away.
Visionary writer-director, dude. You're shitting on a visionary.
The birds... That's the... You saw it!
They froze the frame of one of the birds flying toward the camera and flipped it upside down and shoved it on the beach.
And that's they go and stand at the beach as the bird. They look
oh,
to see it.
The birds are hovering outside the window.
And
oh my God! Wow, they're coming out with coat hangers.
They come out and fight the birds with coat hangers,
guns, sex.
And at one point, the birds just
machine guns
throw a bunch of acid at them. It's really confusing.
Holy shit!
But at the end, the birds fly away, and our lady character goes, wow, why do you think that they left? And
wow.
Our main character looks at her and, like, pauses for, like, you know, like a, you know, 10 seconds of dramatic effect before he's about to say something?
Yeah.
And then he just doesn't say anything, and then the movie goes on for, like, a minute, shot at them at the beach, and goes, Birdemic, this is the movie.
What year? Okay, hold on. Because I need to quickly know... Here's the thing.
So look up the trailer. It is difficult to explain how bad these birds look.
No, I need to know. Sharknado was 2013. 2019. God damn it.
Sharknado was a masterpiece.
God damn it. Sharknado came out after it. There's no way
that's more self-aware. That like Sharknado knew what it was doing.
That company that does all those like Transmorphers.
Oh, fucking, was it the Asylum?
The Asylum. Yeah. Oh my God, they fucking, God damn it! I was gonna say that these guys that James saw Sharknado and went,
he saw the birds.
Wow.
Modern day Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, no, that is like. African Hollywood film quality. Yeah,
absolutely. And so when they first see that shot on the, like, you know, a movie's going to be great when you're just bored to tears for the first half hour, and then you see a JPEG of a CG bird upside down, and I literally just covered my mouth with both my hands and just went, oh no.
Wow.
Right? Just like, oh, that's what,
okay.
That's what you're going with, huh?
Okay. Well.
So that killed my soul.
Mm.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Usually I say it about Lightning and Lightning Returns, but I thought my soul had nothing left in it that could die, and I found a little bit more, and now that part is dead.
It's the hovering birds that are the menacing ones, right?
Oh, you're not even getting the sound effects of them making like plane noises as they explode and
dive.
Oh wow.
Expert filmmaking.
Yeah. See, Wooly's watching also, a video of James describing his fucking process.
His vision. Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I want to punch that smug motherfucker in the face.
If you're a big fan of The Room, or if you hate The Room, or whatever, like, The Room, if The Room is in your life in any way, shape, or form, you should investigate the audiobook, The Disaster Artist.
Yes.
Greg Sestero wrote it.
Quite a while.
Yep, we've been
amazing.
Talking about it for a couple weeks now, actually, yeah.
Okay, because I was on a big Tommy Wiseau kick like 6 months ago. It was horrendous. My chat was just like, Vinny, stop doing Tommy impressions. So, yeah.
Oh, hi, Vinny. Yeah.
Stop it.
I did not.
Why you do is say you bad.
Oh, his is pretty good.
We've been talking to, like, Matt just told us about the audiobook and like how great the impressions are, and from there we then got on to talking about the James Franco soon to come masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we're all in on it now.
Cool. Glad to hear.
Okay.
It glad that
so
the infection is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
And then to polish it off, I played some MOBA, I played some HOTS, nothing to say, it's fun. And I played some Prey, which is fantastic.
So what you're telling me is that you've unlocked your D.Va skin.
D.Va's not even out. She's out on the PTR. But
you've played enough games to get to that tier.
And I haven't played as D.Va ever. She's not out.
Oh. No, but I thought that you, as long as you played up to 10 games online, you would just automatically get it. I thought that was a thing.
Oh, you're talking about the Nexus Challenge. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the Nexus Challenge succeeded in actually getting me back in.
So you've completed the challenge, but you continue to play.
So a bunch of my friends that raided FF14 went, oh, we got to get that skin for Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, let's get our 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we got to get 5 more games. Oh, I'm almost leveled up with this guy. Oh, that was – and then just now everybody's playing it.
For context, Vinny, usually this podcast tends to be MOBA-free.
MOBA free
tends to be
okay.
MOBA free.
Yeah, because I don't play MOBAs very much. I played them in the Warcraft 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to play League also on the weekend. I tried to.
What happened?
The text is too small on my television. Just can't read it. It's too small.
Is that the only thing that stopped you?
That's the only thing that stopped me.
That's hilarious.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
I spent maybe 2 hours on Twitter asking people, how do you make the text bigger? And they're like, go to UI and increase it to higher, and like it starts at 100%, and they go, well, you guess you're fucked then.
No League for you.
No League for me. I tried.
Well, we could have had an in-depth conversation.
Could have had a big conversation of me and me talking about dirtbag MOBAs.
Oh boy. Oh,
but
boy.
That's fine. And Prey is fantastic. I like it better than BioShock.
Wow!
Oh wow! That's a high recommendation.
Well, then again, you did say it's a System Shock sequel successor thing. So
it is more like
I know you like System Shock.
It seems odd. I barely know System Shock. I know its premise and its tone, and this is a lot closer to that than BioShock's is.
Ah.
But the main reason I like it is, well, for one, it you can die, which kind of adds something. And the upgrade path and the whole way that that works is much more interesting than the plasmid system.
Okay.
And I'll admit, as amazing as BioShock's Under the Sea thing is, I much prefer sci-fi alien, like space memory horror
as a setting.
Yeah,
I like that too.
The early part of the game is describing how you've lost your memory, and it's not, oh, you have amnesia. There are really solid plot and like theming reasons why your character doesn't have memory, but you're total recalling it. You're finding recordings that you've left for your own character.
Yeah, memento style. And
I don't know whether to trust those recordings or not.
Cool.
And because I'm finding multiple contradictory ones.
Of course.
Because my character apparently keeps getting their memory reset over and over. And
open your eyes, Link.
May have made different decisions. And yeah, it's really interesting. I really like it.
It like the
feels
gameplay?
Just like BioShock. Like the shooting and the moving around and whatnot feels nearly. And I think my point of comparison will be the shotgun in BioShock 1 versus this. The place that it's held on the screen, the general size of it, the kickback, like it feels identical to BioShock 1.
Okay.
And even hitting things with your wrench feels pretty much the same. And that is not the best feeling, but it's pretty good. It also has really fantastic spacewalk sequences, which
are you?
You have 100% total control over with thrusters, which is fantastic.
And you said, like, I believe last week that, like, you're not, it's unlike BioShock, you're not being funneled into enemy rooms. You're kind of being stalked by cloaking enemies. And
you're being stalked by cloaking enemies, but since the primary and the headcrab equivalent in this game is a mimic that can take the shape of anything from a chair to an ashtray, and the room is typically filled with, you know, hundreds of physics objects like you would in your average first person shooter, there's a real feeling of tension when you're scrounging.
Yeah.
Which leads to very bizarre player behavior. It leads to
shooting staplers
into the bathroom of a game, and you look and there's a tray, and the tray has a bunch of towels on it, and you take your wrench out and you just start beating every object. And
nice.
Right when you think you've lost your mind, one of them moves away from you, and you end up like killing it. You're like, yeah.
Okay.
But probably the goofiest bit is that when those mimics get out of your sight, as soon as they break your field of vision, they transform into something. And because of the nature of you running around and hitting objects in the environment, you've knocked over everything. So it's impossible to tell which one of them actually is. It's a lot of fun. It's a prop hunt.
Yeah. But you're not actually, or rather, is that the majority of your encounters?
No. There are larger and more intense enemies. But I use the term headcrab equivalent like pretty explicitly because, like, think of headcrabs in Half-Life 1. You keep running into them the whole game,
yeah,
and they're always going to kind of be around, yeah, but they stop being your primary source of trouble. Like about a third of the way through.
Okay, I see.
And you start fighting like larger, more teleporty enemies and whatnot pretty soon. I really like it. I think it's fantastic. I keep waiting for it. I'm in this weird place where I'm waiting for it to shit itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for the plot to have like a second act. Ha, gotcha! It's terrible, but haven't run into it so far.
Well, once you find out what the deal with your memories is, there might be a thing.
You find that out right away.
Oh, okay.
You find that out right. It's one of the, like, you read a document and it goes, if this technology does this, then this happens. And you go, oh, well then, that sucks.
Mm. Okay.
So I was debating on whether or not to bring this up, but I feel like it might be worth it just to comment on, like, reviewers and stuff. But IGN gave the game a 4.0. Because their copy had a game-breaking bug that's since been fixed. And I don't think the review has been updated since then. So it has. So what would they give it this time?
They gave it an 8.
Did they miss 4 points they took off because of a pre-release bug?
All right, so I looked into this pretty extensively because I was reading the Prey OT on Gaff. People were complaining about it because Metacritic doesn't change scores ever. So that IGN score like kicked it from like an 81 down to like a 79.
It grabs the RSS
No, Metacritic has a policy to prevent reviewers from just
going up
their
and
scores
down
willy-nilly.
Arbitrarily.
And I believe it, you know, integrity or not, I think part of the reason might actually be that if you were able to change your review score willy-nilly, you could actually figure out what you're weighted as in Metacritic's thing.
Okay.
Because you could kick it up a couple points game per game and you'd figure it out.
Yeah, and then you fuck with the metrics. Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
So, but so
it's like YouTube's
the
algorithm.
IGN reviewer played it on the PC and encountered a disastrous save annihilating bug.
Okay.
And I believe the original tagline for the article was, it was all fun and games until it all came crashing down or something of that equivalent, right? Mm-hmm. And said, it's a really fun game, great everything. And then this game completely ruined my experience and made me hate it, basically. And gave it a 4 as a result because that's how he felt coming off of it, right?
Sorry, Vinny, what was the bug?
Oh, I don't know. It was just game-breaking.
It's a bug that like it corrupts your saves.
Or something like that. Okay.
Well, no, I know this because I read the patch notes and it says we have fixed the save corruption bug.
I see. Okay. So full on A class. Yeah.
So the problem with this is that this is a game in which Bethesda didn't send out review copies, which already makes people kind of like, fuck you, if that's your job, right? If your job's to review games, it's annoying to not get your review copy.
So this was all post, like there's no embargo. It was release and go.
Oh, I thought it was a pre-release. Okay.
No. It was like the second day the game was out.
Gotcha.
What made this extra complex to deal with is that his review went live, but 4 hours earlier, the patch went live that fixed that.
Okay.
So, or 3 or 4 hours. So, here's where it gets weird, right? Because the game was out in the wild to purchase by everybody during the period in which that review was valid. But by the time the review came out, the review was de facto invalid.
Because the update was already live.
I think his complaint, I don't agree with like docking the game's score for it, but I think the complaint of a bug that is A class destroyed my experience with this game is vital to a review because it's buyer beware, right? And then they subsequently changed it and there was a big kerfuffle about it because how much it got docked.
Yeah, so the Metacritic part of the story where it's like their system is one that only takes the first thing you submit and so on and so forth is just a shitty, stupid, unfortunate thing that is the nature of Metacritic's.
Well, there's a part
and how
two
much
to that.
That matters to developers and such. It's like that's part of it that's just like it's an unfortunate byproduct and it sucks that producers or rather publishers you know use Metacritic as like something that is a de facto standard to be held up to that will sometimes determine whether or not you make your bonus that year. That just sucks.
And the Vegas thing was very famously reported and ever since then everybody's kind of freaked out by Metacritic because it can cost millions.
But the
dollars.
Actual circumstances you're describing here are very weird and like I mean, on one hand, of course, the guy can only talk about the copy he has in his hand.
And his personal experience with that copy over the past whatever days.
And I'm sure that in games that do have pre-release copies given out to the press, they will oftentimes come in with an explanation of, by the way, you're going to see this issue and this issue. Those will not exist on release and things like that to kind of like warn or preface these types of situations from happening.
Yeah, you'll get a note that says whatever you do, don't put this item into your inventory. It wipes your character sheet or whatever.
It's not reflective of the game that people are going to
get.
Day
one patch is
going to
fix that. Exactly. Yada yada.
But if that doesn't happen here, then
and here's the last little really makes it goofy. The PC version of this game is substantially better than the console version. The interface is much improved by mouse and keyboard kind of thing. It has the scroll wheel because you have a million items kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it runs way better. And I don't mean like, of course, it runs better because it's a PC game, but like the console versions have performance hiccups here or there, whereas the PC version runs beautifully kind of thing, right? The console version's reviews for Prey on IGN did not get affected by this because
they
showed up on PC. So the console versions got their 8.0 reviews but the PC version had the docked one because that's the SKU the bug was pressing on.
Fuck. Right?
And this like, whole well, thing if that's the version bizarre.
That the bug exists on, that makes sense. But if you're doing multiple console reviews and you're trying, like, it's so. This. You know, the guy who wrote the reviews, I think his name is Nance Stapleton, and I don't begrudge any of his decisions because this is the weirdest. This is the weirdest confluence of like, well, what do I fucking score?
So, if we trace these steps backward, like, you can't ask a person looking at a particular copy of the game, like, to just overlook something that's unless it's like, okay, if the game doesn't boot. You should stop and go, hold on, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like something like on that level. The way you actually deal with this is what I just said is you do have, if you don't give a pre-release copy of the game out, then you still should contact people that are doing reviews and tell them about this and how it's going to
be. Well, but then that gets reported of don't buy Prey Day 1 on PC because there's a save bug.
There's no winning in this situation. The only way to win is to make sure that your bugs are totally eliminated. But even so, you know, you never know what could happen. I mean, there was a bug. Do you remember the Twilight Princess bug where if you saved at a specific point in the game, I think like by a bridge in Kakariko Village or something like that. Like if you saved and quit your game at a very specific point, then reloaded. You couldn't make any progress. You had to start the game over. Like you could be 20 hours into Twilight Princess and then the game would just break for you.
I believe that was Skyward Sword and not Twilight Princess because I remember you had to mail in an SD card to Nintendo so they could fix your save.
I think it was also Twilight Princess.
In Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I remember that it was near the character Shad and he was in Twilight Princess, but I don't think they were able to fix that one. That one I don't know if they ever were able to update it
because you couldn't patch Wii games.
Skyward had it too.
Oh man!
As you know, again, someone as former QA guy, I can tell you that like when you scrape hard enough, you're gonna. There's always more. There is always more, and you're never. There's no such thing as a clean game. There's only a game where.
What about Blizzard games?
The mess is out of the viewers, out of sight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like your user path will never encounter this. But you can never be guaranteed. So,
Actually the fundamentals of speedrunning in some ways too. I mean, if you look at some of the speedruns of like Ocarina of Time or tons of games, they utilize all these bizarre glitches that you know, and they'll specifically go for the version of the games that weren't patched just so they could do these glitches. So in some ways, it's this whole thing of not catching these bugs in QA. Has led to a whole subculture, which is insane. But
it's funny that you mentioned that because Prey has that really bad because there's an item called the glue gun, which lets you throw goo on the floor, but it solidifies that foam, you know, that future foam.
Yeah.
But it allows you to throw it on the walls and create little staircases for yourself.
Okay.
Which means you can climb anywhere, which people use to
sequence break the
absolutely
shit.
Fucking tear that game to shit and beat the game in under 9 minutes within like a few hours of it coming out.
Yeah, that's a sequence break gun. That's exactly what that's
where like. It's just like, guess what? This wall, it's not actually solid.
Yeah.
You just walk through it.
That sounds like horrifying from a like try to stop people from abusing this.
So I forget where I saw it, but there was an article going around and I didn't read it, but I think the headline is the part that actually matters and it's Bethesda's we're not sending review copies out to anyone policy, which is their thing now, I guess. Yep. They've done it 3-4 games in a row. Sometimes it hurts them.
Just put them in the S. That's the only...
And it's not just that. Prey is doing actually pretty poorly sales-wise, despite being a fantastic game.
Really?
Because nobody knows what the fuck it is. There's no reviews. Yeah. Like, reviews is one of the best pieces of ad content you can get for your good game. Is, hey, look, you slap the big like front banner the day the game comes out and says, hey, this game's out and it's great.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Well, the news cycle has its, you know, has its ebbs and flows, but like the pre-release hype is a huge thing and a huge factor in the sales. And now we're seeing like how the system works.
Like I remember
this example.
I remember being somewhat uninterested in Last of Us pre-release until the reviews came out. 2.5 weeks before the game's release date.
That's baffling to me because the first trailer was amazing.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, it's a Naughty Dog game. It's, you know, because I'm not a big fan of Uncharted. And then I think it was Matt and I were at E3 at the time, and the reviews had come out, and the game was done, and it was weeks away. And I went, and the reviews were glowing, obviously. I was like, whoa, they're confident. I'm actually going to check this out now.
Huh. Well, I was day one sold on that, but so
it's a mess.
Quick thing, brand confusion. I know a lot of people were big fans of the original Prey, and then this Prey is like also called Prey. And I know a lot of people, myself included, were just like, is this game any way related to the Prey that came out a bunch of years ago?
It's kind of not.
Hold on
a
second. So I brought this up last time, right?
Yeah.
Is it actually a completely different intellectual property?
No, because the brand name is the same.
Yes, it is.
There are aliens.
But you know what I mean?
It's in space, I guess.
But it is like a reboot.
It is 100% completely new everything.
It's not another.
It couldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
It could not have less to do.
Right.
With the old.
I'm gonna complain for a second because Prey 2 looked interesting. It was like you were a bounty hunter, and like a Blade Runner alien city. It looked fucking awesome.
Prey 2 is the bad mouth feel of this Prey because this Prey is great. It's made by Kane. And the Prey 2 was being made by Headhunter. And that company no longer exists because Prey 2 was an elaborate gambit by Bethesda to bankrupt and absorb that company. And then once that gambit didn't work, they just canceled the game.
Oh, no.
And now that company no longer exists, and neither does that game. And it did look awesome. It looked fucking great.
Yeah, it did look pretty great. Jesus, that's fucked up.
So everything around Prey that's not playing the game is bizarre, confusing, weird, possibly feel bad in some cases.
Yeah,
like I'm sure people who used to work at Headhunter don't look at this game with any fond-like feelings.
No, I wouldn't imagine so, man.
Yeah, do you mean Human Head?
Human Head, thank you, not Headhunter. I do mean Human Head.
Okay.
That is who I meant.
Yeah, okay.
Bethesda's so fucking evil. They're so evil. It defies belief.
Because I wanted to see what the disambiguation page
was
going to look like.
It sucks. Anybody who runs a game database, like How Long to Beat or whatever, the fucking game is listed as Prey brackets 2017.
Yeah.
Which is the ugliest way you can get your game into a database.
That's what happens. Ninja Gaiden, Bionic Commando, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah, there's movies, games. I mean, this happens so much now, you know. 2016 this, 2016 that, you know.
Have called it The Prey?
No, people don't want to feel like, or new audiences don't want to feel like they missed out on something from 10 years ago.
I don't know, man. The original Prey is like fucking...
I know. It's dumb.
It's a Quake
game. Oh, it's the dumbest. It's the absolute dumbest. But that's how bad it is when you're going from... that's how bad it is when it's a new IP versus something established. Even if the thing that you're coming off of is like a fucking footnote, it's a completely ignored
random bit. I should also mention that the title Prey for this game... tangential is being kind. Like, this could be called.
Yeah.
Think of any sci-fi name for anything.
No one.
You know what would be a better name for this? Like, Event Horizon or something, you know? Like,
sure.
Like zero people give a fuck that Red Dead Revolver existed.
You're right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And, like, that was a thing. It came out, whatever, bam. Like, there was no reason for that to be a similar title or imply that it was within
I heard that you.
That could have just been Rockstar Cowboys. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
That's a great name. Rockstar Cowboys.
Yeah. But, you know, but, like, they tied it on there because it just, the fact that, like, you hear a thing and it sounds like it's something, you already know what it is.
I guess you're really excited for that It remake.
You just categorize it somewhere else in your brain, I suppose, as, like, I am familiar with that thing, therefore... I am more willing to open myself up to it.
It's the family guying of
society. Well, they now take, because, you know, every idea, let's face it. Okay, You're on a spaceship. Things go wrong. What franchise could that be put into?
Everything.
Probably Alien. I mean, you know, it's all been done. We've at this point, we've done so, like, every franchise that exists has something covered. So if you want to do a cowboy thing and you want to sell more units, you're going to call it Red Dead Redemption. If you want to do a space movie involving aliens taking over a ship, which is not a wholly original concept, you can call it Alien. Or if you want to do, like, a franchise, you know, involving space mimics, I guess you call it Prey. I mean, it's just, it's a weird thing,
they should have called it Computer Fear.
Nicely done.
Systems.
You're doing it. Look,
What about Space O'Shock?
I just kind of look at it like, what would the numbers have changed to if Red Dead was not in that title, you know? Would it have made any difference?
I feel like
how many people actually
feel like that's the weirdest one of all, because Rockstar knows that it's the word Rockstar on the game box that actually makes it, not the
and it wasn't even the same company that the original.
They could have called that Grand Theft Horsey, and it would have done just as well.
It came from a different company, you know. It's so weird. I don't know. Anyway,
but it's a good game.
I guess
it's a good game.
But maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it all spawns from fear of new IP.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
after
you, sorry, Vinny.
Oh, well, I was just saying, people criticize Nintendo for not doing a lot of new IPs. They do from time to time, but if they want to do a medieval game, they do Zelda. They want to do a fantasy shoot space game, you know, they can do Metroid, which they don't. But if they wanted to do, you know, a platformer, they do Mario. Like, so, I mean, they have the past, they've got the future, they've got the present, they've got Kirby, whatever that is. They got all these different things that they can draw from. So if one of their guys comes up with an idea, someone on their team could be like, oh, that kind of reminds me of Kirby. It's a Kirby game now. You know, I mean, it just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but at the same time, they decided to not make Punch-Out Spring Arms. They made
Point. Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
They didn't make... I wouldn't even know where to go with this, but... Like, they didn't make a Mario Sunshine Splat Gun Battle Warfare. they made Splatoon, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes, even if it is similar, they do reach out there.
I get the feeling sometimes. The way I see, like, publisher reps and developers talk about new IP is that, oh, yeah, that first one going to lose tons of money. Like, guaranteed, no matter what, if it's completely new. And, yeah, it's all about building that audience for the second one.
It's about building a universe, too.
People will hear about, oh, that first one was good, I guess.
Mm.
And buy the second one.
Look at movies now, too. Like the whole thing with the Marvel Universe being so successful and, like, all these reboots, like, consistently happening. It's almost like if you don't start a universe, like, they're now factoring in the sequels and the potential crossovers to make an even bigger profit. So they start a thing with the intention of having that thing extend as far as possible to maximize profits.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And people went up and dug up Guardians of the Galaxy comics, you know what I mean, prior to that coming out, going, what is this again? Yeah, and then when their friends showed up, they're like, oh, Ben, you haven't heard? You haven't heard of Rocket Raccoon and Groot? What? Oh, dude, you're so behind them, and you get to do
that. I don't think anyone ever said that. I don't think anyone ever said, what do you mean you haven't? Like, I remember when Rocket got announced for Marvel 3, no one was going like, oh, wow, I can't believe more people don't know about Rocket the Space Raccoon.
Yeah, actually, all I remember hearing was, why not Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
That was what I remember hearing the most.
Yeah, at this point,
but people know that from a movie, at least, you know?
Wasn't he in Guardians 2? Wasn't there a cameo?
He was in Guardians 1 as well.
He was.
There's like a duck cameo. I remember a duck person. I kind of have an affinity for ducks, so I noticed them.
You've got no luck until you've gone duck.
And the only reason why anyone said that is because a Howard the Duck movie came out from that. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
That's all I recognize that.
I know that.
When I saw
I clapped.
It.
I clapped. Very cool.
I clapped when I saw the red lights. Okay, no.
By the way, this podcast is brought to you by Fidget Corpse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And it's like a fidget spinner.
And on the flip side of that, you have, hey, one game in this long-running IP did bad. I guess Mass Effect's dead now.
Oh, yeah. That? Yeah, that's true. Got to reboot
Mass Effect, Mass Effect is just dead now because of Andromeda.
In 4 years, this is just going to be Mass Effect 2022.
All I did was check out the
5 years.
The official phrasing is indefinitely shelved.
Oof. God.
And they transferred most of the staff from BioWare Montreal to a different studio to work on something else. The only people that are left are the people.
I got some phone calls to make.
Mass Effect is dead. And it's because of. Of the last gen.
Oh boy. I hope my friends are okay.
After Assassin's Creed and stuff like that, like I would call Mass Effect highly successful, even like indicative of that generation, right? Just huge blockbuster, sold millions and millions and millions, right?
It's on the bullet point list.
Did one bad game, which still sold a couple million copies. Dead.
Did you see the patch comparison videos?
Yes.
It looks like another director went through every conversation and every cutscene.
I'm going to maintain. So I read all the patches because they're long and I want to see what kind of stuff is in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that like let's ignore the faces. Let's ignore the weird dialogue and all that shit, right? There's a bunch of gameplay stuff like when you hit level 61 in the original game, because of the way the inventory worked, merchants, all of a sudden, all of their stock would disappear from every merchant in the game because there isn't any inventory labeled as 61 and up purchase.
That is the first time I'm hearing about
right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, me too, because I read in the patch notes
that it was
merchants
fixed.
Will now sell items at level 61 or higher.
Christ.
Right, that game. I said it right at the beginning. I'm going to maintain it. That game got pushed out the door like 6 months, maybe even a year early, and it bit it for it, and now it's dead. Like this feels like the kind of scenario that you can go into the little publisher relationship pool and find like the person whose fault this is. Right,
the person who made the calendar.
The person we need
early
this
2017.
In this quarter.
First quarter.
Come out on the, what was it, the fucking 28th or something of March?
Yeah, that's how we balance our fiscal year.
Oh,
yeah.
It's depressing. Real bad.
Well, I respect the fixes because at least they're leaving the game in a state.
It is amazing.
Insanely improved.
It is amazing what a little ambient occlusion on the top of your eye can do.
Well, that's what I was getting at with like to go back to the weird faces and the voice stuff is that like the cutscene comparisons are night and day. It's nuts. And just even like adding expressions to sentences like my dad is dead and
her laughing.
It's a lot.
You don't have to change the dialogue. You don't have to change. Well, in some cases you do, but. You have to change the voice acting because you're not getting those people in for new lines usually. No. But just a little shadow here, make the pupils a little smaller, tweak this mouth movement a little bit, night and day.
Did you have anything else?
No, man, that's it.
Okay.
And we kind of sidetracked into like two different news topics or whatever. What do you do with your life, Wolves?
Well, I honestly, Well,
how's it going at Casa de New Wolves?
Well, I'm almost out of Box Town. I'm almost out. I've slowly but surely made my way, and my consoles are plugged in, so I'm still in the P5 summer, and just doing that for a bit. But I didn't, like, again, I know I don't have a ton of time for much else besides that. What I did do was watch this show that's been highly recommended to me on Netflix called Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and, love that show.
Have you finished it?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck, man.
Is that weird 70s show that's all psychedelic and shit?
This is...
I'm going to look up a screenshot.
Way more modern, and this
is... Screenshot of a television show.
It was British until it stopped being British. I guess there's some episodes where they're just not set in England, but every episode so far is standalone. It is a series that is basically just talking about, or rather just exploring...
technology and its effect on society, and in particular, yeah, like screens and where things like social media can go in different things ranging from dystopia to like parallel of modern day, you know, where social media means a lot more, for example. And fucking, like, it's perfect, dude. This thing, it's like, I'm only a couple episodes in, and you're so satisfied at the end of every episode.
Excuse me.
It's weird because it's a Netflix series or that you don't need to binge.
That's not true. I don't believe you.
Yeah, and you almost don't want to because you need... I feel like you do a disservice to an episode by watching another one right after it. Because the
you gotta let it soak
in. You gotta let it soak in. Because the next one's jumping into a completely different topic in a completely different setting that's making you think about completely different things. And, like, you don't get to properly digest what you just went through. It's so well written. Right now, the... yeah, I'm on the fourth episode, and like each one's an hour. And what it does is it just sets up an element of like
Give me an example. Go hard. Go if you've only watched the first four, you don't like, and there are four seasons of this. Tell me a topic.
Okay, one episode is a world that is it's not too distant future, but distant enough where you can have I'll tell you about this one. You install something called a grain in this one episode, and that is a device that captures everything you see. Your entire visual experience from the moment you install this thing is recorded, and then you can play back memories. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then you can also, any nearby screens, you can think of a memory, pull it up, and show somebody. So everyone that has this, and this has become the norm in society to the point where not having one is weird.
It's ubiquitous. It's completely
where
common.
Where if you don't have one, people go like, what, really?
You don't
have
some
kind of, is that some kind of political thing? Right? Where it's yeah, like, okay. If you don't, it's not like not having a smartphone. It's like not having a cell phone.
Yeah.
And so you go through, so they introduce this concept and show you like, you know, what it means and how the different casual ways that this is explored. But it then focuses on like the story of just not horrible things in life that are not the world changing. It just shows you one relationship, a couple.
Yeah.
And you just focus on this couple's relationship with the ability to pull things up. And it's fucking
I can imagine,
unbelievable.
I can imagine couple-based arguments
become
very bizarre with perfect playback.
It's, dude, it's fascinating. And and the best thing about this show is how they introduce the concept, like the grain, right? And they tell you what it does, and then you see... you know, people using it in different scenarios. Like you see a commercial on TV for old people, like having perfect memory to just relive their youth and things like that. Or like, hey, babysitter's job's done. We just got home. Let's watch our baby's playback and see what our baby saw for the last couple hours while we were out.
Important. Right? Useful.
You have things like that. And then they just explore every angle of this technology. And by the end, like, you can think of a few others, but you're so satisfied.
And it has real world applicability going backwards, because it's like, well, what if everybody just didn't put their phone down? What if everybody just had their phone up?
That's another episode.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
That's literally, there's
I see.
Yeah, that's another episode. And there's even episodes like, I'll just tell you that the first episode is not really set in the future, maybe the near future, but it's kind of about the Prime Minister of England getting blackmailed and the way technology is used to blackmail him into I want to spice this up just so the audience might be interested, into fucking a pig.
Yep.
And you see,
that's that topical, just like the actual Prime Minister of England.
Well,
and that was, and this happened before that actually was known, apparently. But yeah, no. So this is this show is fantastic, and it really, like, it explores these ideas about technology in the near future, sometimes in the not so near future, and it takes them to their fullest extent, and it really explores them in a smart and in a really interesting way. Woolly, it gets better.
Oh,
my favorite season is probably the third season. And man, I'm glad you're enjoying the show because it just gets weirder and weirder. There's some episodes that leave you satisfied, like you said, and there are some that leave you a little dead on the inside because it's like, oh my God, could we go? Is this there, like world we live in, this devoid of meaning to the fact that like in the near future, technology is just going to ruin, you know, our lives in one way or another.
That sounds so great.
Yeah. It's a cautionary tale in some ways.
An emotional response than what I imagine you're supposed to.
It ends up, honestly, that like I've already had run the gamut of emotions on these things where sometimes you come out of that going like, oh, that's a horrible thing where you're barely even human anymore.
Awesome.
And sometimes it's like, well, that's an unfortunate use of a really practical piece of technology.
Yep.
You know, and
yep.
You go all around, dude, and like this is just a couple episodes.
Are you saying that like this show combines my existential nihilism with my ever-present futurism to create a horrible, bad feeling in your stomach?
That's definitely a part of it.
I would probably go, yay!
That's definitely a part of it.
I think you'd like the show then, Pat. I think you'd enjoy it.
And I worry that when I go to talk after watching this show, that we will be coming at it from very different places.
Well, after the episodes, I think about that and my life in that context for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah.
It stays with me. And I'm just like going like, man.
Hook me up, man.
What if I, and then if.
Plug it all in.
What would I. And it's so nuts, especially given the fact that like we now live lives that are like massively affected by social media and online.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm making shit up. But anyway, in the nature of the type of lives we live, it especially like it just recontextualizes familiar concepts.
We're on the bleeding edge of ruining our lives with technology.
Fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else I can say. And I mean, you know, there's some faces that I did recognize like early on. There was the main character from Get Out showed up in an episode that was really good. But yeah, the first episode, as Vinny pointed out, it starts you slow. Mm-hmm. And it starts you on it's more of a thought experiment, like where like a joke concept becomes serious. And,
yeah.
But even then the thesis statement of like screens and social media and I guess just like the way it affects the way things like that affect culture. Mm-hmm. Is it being explored? It's just being explored in the lowest, like with the volume at like 0.2 decibels.
That's really interesting because the way you're describing it now with that those kinds of terms, it sounds like a more grounded, less hopeful Star Trek. And the reason why I say that is because Star Trek at its core is just a Socratic argument, which is, okay, what if hunger and crime except don't exist?
Yeah.
What if you encounter this completely new scenario that is novel to you? Then what?
But here's what's interesting.
And with this, it's more grounded, it's more realistic, and it definitely sounds less hopeful.
Well, they're all different. And this is what's interesting because Star Trek, from season to season, they visit different concepts, but they explore them all in one world, one place. And you go to different planets and different rules apply.
Also, the Black Mirror... They are all like it's always you talking like Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone was going to be the show I brought up. Yeah,
you hit the credits and that world is gone.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and then the next episode starts and like concept and like the things that they would explore in a movie like Minority Report would be just condensed into
completely
this 1 hour,
condensed into a 1 hour,
and then get through it and you're like, oh, and then that hit the credits, that's gone. You know, it's so interesting and so well written, fucking incredible. I can't recommend it enough. Off of four goddamn episodes, you know.
I'll just go ahead and say again, seeing the whole series, and I'm also a big Star Trek fan, and it is kind of in some ways like Star Trek is the best of humanity with technology. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like a cautionary tale about what would happen if we let the technology get the best of us. But not every episode's like that.
The realisticest, or
and
it's realistic. Yeah.
there's always this weird feeling too when you're watching it and you're going like, all right, new society, how bad does it get, right? When it's like everybody's doing the thing is normal. The thing is weird to you and I because we don't live in that time. Yeah. But to them, this is how it's always been. Now, you're always waiting for the moment of what happens to the person who doesn't do the thing. And then, like, and that, you know, and like,
yeah. Yeah,
what happens yeah. to me?
And you know that's where it's going, and you're just uneasy the entire time. And then you find out what happens to that person. And sometimes it's like, oh, that's well, okay.
Totally average.
And then it goes somewhere else, and you go, bah! You know, or it's like, no, the bad, bad things happen. You know?
You don't use Twitter? Into the pit with you.
Dude.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, without spoiling, like, some of the major impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No worries. Okay, I will definitely. You know what, Vinny? I appreciate you having watched it and being here, because I can think of less thing. I don't know. I can think of fewer things more satisfying than, so I just got into this thing, and it's really fantastic. And then somebody next to you goes, oh, I watched it or did it all. It's the best. It only gets better.
When you go over to Netflix and, like, you click on it, and it's like, watch season 3, episode 1, and you're like, no, season 1, episode 1. And you start and you go, this is good. And then you just go, you know there's so much more ahead to go. I love that feeling.
And there's not even that much more to go. That's the thing. Like, I think the first season is 3, second season's 3. Then there's a Christmas special, which leaves you with a sense of undying dread.
Enjoy that one. It's British seasons that are super short.
However, season three is 6 episodes, and then I think the next season they're going to go for another 6. So they're picking it up slowly. But okay. Yeah. Right. So you gotta you know, like. Like an American season's worth of shows.
I'm gonna sit down and do it all in one.
Okay,
and I'll get back to you.
Honestly,
you can't stop me.
I can't. But I can just ask that you don't back to back.
Is there a binge society episode?
It does disservice to it. Okay, I really think it does.
That's fine.
And then you do with that information what you will.
I'm gonna watch them all back.
All right. Anyway,
and then I'm going to come on here and be like, I can't believe you didn't watch back to back. That does it.
No, because I think your jumbled thoughts are going to forget particular details here. Not good. Or, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
As has been documented, I don't make mistakes.
Okay. Okay.
It and really I spicy food.
And I don't misremember details. This has been documented.
It's like more than anything else, it feels like too much to take in.
I can take it all. All right, great. Thanks.
That'll be on your gravestone.
There you go.
He took it all.
We isolated it. We stayed silent, so we've got that clean clip for you there. Watch Black Mirror, guys. It's fucking great. Okay, let's move on, shall we?
To the news.
chimpanzee that monkey news.
All right, I don't know. You know what's apparently news?
What's that?
Me.
Yeah? Yeah, I saw.
Apparently.
Noted jackass wants to get you in jail. It seems to be the article that's going around.
Horrible, horrible YouTuber gives terrible legal advice. Everyone's lives get ruined.
This is the largest scale. No, you didn't got. No, you said. Oh, God. I've ever seen in my life.
Pat,
ever.
What do you know about this story?
So Wooly, on his side channel, sister channel, whatever the fuck you want to call it, where he puts up all his weirdo bullshit.
I like to call it a shit posting
channel. Put up a rather fun Tim and Eric style spoof about cease and desists and fan games, in which he described, "Hey, shut the fuck up." Basically. We have been saying for years around here, it's like, listen, if you're going to make a fan game and you want that fan game to come out and that's your mm-hmm. number one priority, just shut up and release it. Just shut up and release it. That way it's out there and they can't stop its release. And
I've said the same thing on my stream. Yeah, I agree.
Now, you made a funny video that basically said that in a longer way, and that got some groundswell. And more specifically, it got some groundswell from a attorney
who knows a lot about video games and copyright law.
In fact, his name is Video Game Attorney.
Video Game Attorney, right. Okay. And Video Game Attorney points out quite accurately that this is a good way to not get cease and desisted, because you can't get cease and desisted, right? But to get fucking sued to death hard, super hard, and get fucked by the companies in question, right? Which then leads to people going, why is Wooly telling people to do things that will ruin their lives? And here's the there's the funny thing of like, it's a joke. You're not getting a joke. Like, that's literally what's occurring here. But there's the philosophical thing, which I'm going to put on. I'm not sure if this is how you feel with it. Because you post in that thing, or you say rather, hey, this is jokes. I'm not a lawyer. I'm, you know, stuff like that, right? But here's the way I see it. I do think that your advice should be taken seriously, because your advice is to people whose primary concern is the release of the fan game, right? If that's your primary concern, don't get it out. Now, what happens to you after that? Whatever. I don't actually care. I want my video game. But...
so that's the pat take.
That's the pat take. The pat take is, no, you're right. Shut up. Put it out. Get sued. I don't care. I have the Metroid remake now. It's mine now.
By the way, Vinny, this is Pat. This is
give me the thing.
This is the guy.
Okay. I have a take on it.
But okay. Your real internal take in that video is, hey, why don't you just not have it say Metroid on the box and call it Space or whatever, Vinny, and just change it to legal distinction so that you can make your own new thing that is new and has no right.
Give us the Vinny hot take.
The Vinny hot take is, knowing all that I know now, release it, call it a beta, say final release is on the way, but just make that the final version.
Okay, that's a thing I've never seen. That's, release that's it an interesting. And say-
assisted.
Okay.
And you go, okay, yes. Hands up.
Okay. But so that way, if they cease and desist, no problem. I'll stop working on it. It didn't come out yet, even though you just released the full game under the assumption that it's a beta. Unfortunately, I've just given away my secret. So now the tactic
is
known.
Isn't that what Project M actually did?
Project M is weird because it actually helped bring attention to Brawl, but it's a thing that's in the community where like Nintendo kind of doesn't want to touch it, but they're not fond of it showing up at official events where they're involved. So it's a weird thing.
So I know that you used a screenshot of Chrono Resurrection in that piece.
Fact, I ran through the list. So a random list. Well, there's a lot missed, but
a lot of painful memory.
But a lot of stuff that I remember.
The reason I bring up Chrono Resurrection specifically is that Chrono's a somewhat unique case in which they continued to work on and finished that game and have it for themselves, but due to the cease and desist, cannot release it.
Right.
That Chrono Resurrection totally exists. It exists on multiple people's computers, and they play it for funsies.
And that's not always what happens when these things go bad. Sometimes, of course, the person making the game is like, my head's all over the place, but it's so interesting because people have gotten in contact with me, and fan game developers have gotten in contact with me and had lots to say on it. And of course, Video Game Attorney had what he had to say. And like, it is definitely true, and there's no arguing that the soundest legal advice you can give to people is, don't break the law, don't do the illegal thing that
obviously
get you in trouble.
And even if we're not talking straight up illegal, I mean, fair use, what have you, whatever. Like, Nintendo doesn't want you to make fan games, right? Period. So why don't you make a legally distinct variation? Well, look.
So there's, that's the thing, and
there's a case of that. I'll tell you about it in a bit, but go ahead, Will.
Right, and in the same sense, like, a Let's Play can be pulled down if the people that make the game don't want it to be recorded.
It's true.
We can look at current examples.
It's true.
A stream can be pulled down at any point.
That's accurate.
A cover of a song that, you perhaps might have as your ringtone is technically also operating in that space.
And I want to give an addendum to what Wooly's saying. the obvious nonsense versions that we've all seen. We're talking about the actual person who actually owns the actual thing.
Yeah.
Being like, can you not?
If they wanted to. So, you know, I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but it's like, what I'm getting at is that there's a weird space that, like, exists where there's constant infringement on the in the average person's life. Mm. And you kind of just...
Well, maybe you guys operate. I've never.
No, of course never. Not. Of course not. What's on your phone background?
The same phone background.
That official piece of JoJo fan art, JoJo artwork?
Well, you have it on your phone.
Yeah, that's a piece of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure artwork that was not created by a fan. That was actually done officially.
Well, luckily, art has no value, so...
Yeah. So anyway, but my point is that even fan art falls into this category, mm-hmm. right? And it seems to have more impact when... The thing that you make is in the same medium as the source.
I remember there was a fear about a year and a half ago over some minor, banal change to copyright law, freaked out a bunch of cosplayers because it would include them as copyright infringers.
Well, I mean, when I was discussing the use of when I was discussing trademark holders and needing to defend their trademarks
vigorously,
that like trademark law and copyright law are actually very. But in any case, I guess what I'm getting at is that, like, yes, the sound correct thing to do is to never break the law. And there's a place, though, however, to really give out.
What if I really want to?
And I can't stop you?
Yeah.
You're just going to make that fan game no matter what? Mm. Then maybe learn from the mistakes of the past. Look at what happened in the past and use that to teach you something.
To de-scumbagify myself slightly. When I say, like, just put it out and follow your advice for real, that's only, and I mean this very specifically, if your primary concern is that your piece of work gets out as is.
Now, to get the full opposite side out there, the risk that Video Game Attorney has mentioned is that you can release a game, if you actually make a game in secret and then put the whole thing out there, it's not that you're getting people's attention over to a thing that might eventually cut away from their profits. Mm-hmm. It's you're actively doing something to hurt our profits on this thing that on the property we own. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we can destroy your life, mm-hmm. right? What he said is that this has happened to people and that there's NDAs. So the reason why you haven't heard about it is because they're not allowed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So this is the scenario.
But Chrono Resurrection would have gotten out there.
Scenario that he's describing, and in that context, in that vein, obviously, personally, I would absolutely never want anyone's life
can
to
we
be
get
destroyed.
A, can we get a, let me a get ticker about how many.
Let me get it out there. I would never want someone's life to be destroyed over making a fan game. That's more than ridiculous.
What if it was a really good one?
And it's absurd, right? And in the tone of me just making shit posting videos of jokes we've had for a while in the podcast, I can't point and say, yeah, it was just a prank, bro, because
yeah, you can.
I can. And it mostly was, mm-hmm. but there's definitely a point in there where I'm, hey guys, if you're going to do this, do it like this, mm-hmm. right? And I also end on that note with where you can't cease and desist fun. And I go, just drop the link and put it out there. There's nothing you can do because we're already having fun. That definitely is not accounting for the possibility that legal action can still pursue you after you've done that.
What if you just put it on like a weirdo Russian cryptography
or torrents? Yeah,
site.
Sure. People
I was going to say,
people,
if you did it totally anonymously, like just for the love of the project, if you're that selfless and the project means that much to you, just do it. Be anonymous. Put it on a torrent or whatever you got to do and just get it out there. I mean,
yeah, go to your local library.
Yeah.
But again, it's like the, you know, the idea that you're doing this, it means you're ignoring the fact that you're taking huge risks. And
yes.
You don't care about that part. You still want to make the fan thing. I also happen to mention that, like, yeah, there are tons of really awesome mechanical sequels to things that are not the same intellectual property, and we've seen.
We've
discussed them on this podcast.
I talked about a big budget one earlier called Prey,
and when we talked about roguelikes and Metroidvanias, you know, like yep. It is something that happens, and it's honestly something that is your best bet because when you do that, not only is it are you legally in the clear, you're allowed to make money on that. Mm-hmm. Whereas your fan game, you're always not.
Like there's a decent version of the story in which there were some guys making a mod using Unreal Engine in which they were making a like over the shoulder kind of Resident Evil 2 remake in Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
And they went to Capcom and said, "Hey, you want us to, you know, really go for this?" And Capcom was like, "Not really." And also, can you not? And they went, "Got it." And then they just changed it to a different game,
yeah,
which seems to be terrible. But hey, that game exists, and no one got in trouble.
Now, it sucks because there's no way there's so much in my head that I've covered over, like, you know, this story. And I'm not going to get it all out there because there's just too many points to bring up. But there's been, people have contacted me for the range of stories going from I made a thing and it was the fan game I made and I put it out there and it was the best thing I ever did. Taking that risk was awesome because it landed me an official position because the people loved it.
Yep.
And they gave me a job out of it and this thing became official.
There's a wild variation of how cool people are willing to be.
There's the in-between on things like Street Fighter Cross Mega Man where it just becomes official. There's obviously the Sonic things where it doesn't speak for Sega as a whole, it speaks for Sonic and their appreciation of fan games that when that happened at a point. And you know, and then there's things like Metal Gear where Konami gave the okay and David Hayter voiced lines on the Metal Gear remake and then it got still shut down after the fact because Konami's, I guess it hit another department. Maybe it was on the, you know,
it hit the narc department.
Like maybe it hit the devs and the devs were okay, but then the legal team was not. Whatever happened, it crossed wires and the large offices of Konami eventually came back and changed their minds on that being okay. So
are you telling me that Konami was inconsistent and not cool about a thing?
Yeah. And
shocking.
I used to talk about Grand Theft Auto being something that Rockstar was totally cool with as a demake, but Red Dead Redemption V, which was a mod of Grand Theft Auto 5 PC to be like Red Dead for the PC, since that doesn't seem to be happening, got shut down just this month, right?
Bummer.
So anyway, all that to say that like in this gray that we operate in where we like fan-made things and we enjoy them and like as fans, we know that they aren't legally allowed to make these fan derivative works, whether that's a fan film of a film series, whether that's a fan game of a game series or fan art of an art series, whatever the case may be, right? We know that they're not okay and they just kind of, we accept them anyway. So when a fan game comes out for something that we enjoy, our first instinct is to just like it because we're fans of the series.
Hey, JP. JP Doctor, you got Skyrim made you made with us? Skyrim mod? It's coming after you.
Yeah.
Now, so, let's ignore the fact that we voice acted that mod.
And
gave
so,
you our explicit bro lesson.
Right. So,
gonna get you.
At the end of the day, you know, is my stupid PSA terrible advice? Yeah, it is. I'm an irrelevant YouTuber. You shouldn't listen to what I have to say.
No, you should listen to what he has to say.
I have no legal authority
in that video.
Everything that I say, and especially that I put up on my channel, is terrible
advice. I'm disappointed
advice.
By this.
You should never listen to me.
I'm super disappointed by this.
You should never
because
listen
I
to me.
Because I super agree with you in that video 100%.
I have the worst opinions and you shouldn't listen
to me. I just want all the fan games to come out and whatever.
But if you don't listen to, but if you do listen to me and you don't listen to me now telling you not to listen to me and you do it anyway, then don't be dumb
okay,
about it, I
hey,
guess is what I was trying
we
to
have
say.
An email section at the end of this podcast. If you go to court over your fan game, tell us how the judge reacted when you showed them Wooly's video and whether or not you got a free pass.
So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you get through all of the warnings and you read what video game attorney had to tell you you're lining yourself up for and you still don't care, shut the fuck up.
You know what this reminds me of? You know what this reminds me of?
Shut the fuck up.
This makes me think of an analogy, which
that's
is,
what I feel.
Listen, okay, this is going to ruin your life. You could come under financial strain. You could have serious deleterious physical effects. You could have problems with your friends and family that ruin your relationships. And if your response to that is, but I really want to get high on this meth right now, Just don't tell anybody, I guess.
Right.
Just get high in your mouth and quiet.
It's the sign says there's landmines in that field. You're stepping over the tape. You're walking into the zone. It's terrible.
Oh, man.
It's a huge risk.
I've talked about it before, but
you shouldn't cross that line.
I learned about it from a Patton Oswalt bit, and it's my favorite version of that ever. I want my cap back that fell off my head on the roller coaster. I'm going to climb over the first fence. I'm going to climb over the second fence. I got my hat. I have now been decapitated by being kicked by someone's foot on the roller coaster. But I got my hat.
Yeah.
If you value your hat over your non-decapitated head, then on making your fan games.
No, the destruction of lives is as an actual threat is fucking, I really hope that doesn't really happen.
I don't know, there's plenty of people out there.
We haven't seen examples, possibly because of these NDAs.
Yeah.
If we ever got an example, I think a non-NDA person that this happened to would prove to be the ultimate deterrent in getting the message out there. So, you know, the thing that Video Game Attorney was talking about would, like, be huge, huge news if we actually saw a case and said, oh, here we go. Here's an example of this that happened to somebody. But I don't think we have, right? And it would be really positive that message if that came out.
We need the illegal fan game whisperer. We need a guy out. We need Dark Alex to come out of retirement, and we need him to be the arbiter of fan games. And you send Dark Alex your fan game, and then he distributes it.
Nice. Thank you. Some of the other interesting things that came up in this discussion were about how sometimes a fan game is actually just a ruse where the person putting it up there intends for it to get shut down, uses it as an excuse to get people to pay attention to them and what they're making.
See, now that
creates an audience. And then when it gets shut down, they go, sorry, guys, they won't let me. And you get off scot-free.
See, now that's great. See, that's good.
You know, and I was like, I never even realized that could be a thing. That's interesting. Other times, some developers wrote and told me that the reason why they didn't shut the fuck up, or why they don't think that it's sound advice, or not sound advice, but the problem with the advice is that quote unquote advice is that they are not sure if it's good, and it's almost like they want a sanity check by weighing it off the crowd.
Well, all developers or all people making any form of creative work have that problem,
of course.
Matt and I, but way back when we started out, we did the fucking Catherine video, and I remember walking out of Matt's apartment going, that's the worst video we've ever made, for sure, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And people liked it.
Yeah.
And there's other videos we've made, you're like, that was great! Oh, no!
Right.
People hate that video!
So it's people that are like, before I commit a couple years of my life to breaking the law here and doing a thing that I'm passionate about, I want to hear that it's working or worth it or something like that. And you know what? Like, I get that part of it too. That's just for your own security in devoting yourself to the project. But at the same time, it's still putting everything at risk more than it already is at risk.
All right. So I'm going to break new ground here. I think that if you're going to break the law, you should go big or go home. And if you're going to go this path, you might as well just escalate straight to bank robbery.
Well, priority one for you is to just get the game.
Yeah.
And
you told me I would get it.
Yeah.
So where is it?
Right. And so, you know, in that sense, right?
See, I have an indignant streak to this in which I resent game creators who get shut down on fan games. I'm like, well, why'd you tell me? Now I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in you because you didn't deliver.
Which Shame. Is ridiculous and absurd.
Yeah.
But
well, they
but
if
you,
they hadn't said but, anything, I wouldn't be disappointed.
But that. You represent, some people that are like, it doesn't matter what happens to the creator. Just I want to get the game. Right. And that's to some degree, that's part of the Internet.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side where it's like, you know, hey, man, don't do this. Change it to something else. Make money on it. Right. It's a lot of time, money, effort. It's a lot of, you know, whatever. But
I wish the creators of Chrono Resurrection had never told me that Chrono Resurrection existed, whether or not it came out or not.
Did you know about the other Chrono game? The Trigger Crimson Echoes?
Crimson Echoes. Yep, that was in the video too.
So that got cease and desisted, and then another developer took an almost complete version of it and then made it Flames of Eternity, and then actually changed it and released their own version, but they changed a lot of things like in this version, Frog and Ayla had a relationship.
Ooh.
So yeah, it was just bizarre like changes. So now at this point, it got cease and desisted, but then someone else picked it up with no consequences. Like, so Square wasn't even, apparently they didn't, you know, go that deep into it. And then an inferior version was, in my opinion, was released, and we got that instead. So it was just like, it was weird because the thing came out, it leaked, and then someone else took it and made it worse. But I was going to mention, actually, I wanted to let you get your thoughts out because they're mm-hmm. valid, good thoughts. I've been, I don't talk about it too much. Well, I've talked about it a little bit, but I don't go into too much detail. But Nintendo was on my ass for streaming and making videos of corruptions and ROM hacks and stuff. And I decided to continue doing so, you know, under the threat of losing my entire everything. Mm-hmm. Because for the same reason, you know, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing, you know, because they're not happy with something that I'm doing. And also, if it does go in that direction, you have to imagine people are going to make a big stink out of it. It's going to be a huge deal. So I'm really, you know, I'm not stopping what I'm doing.
Look at this brave guy. Hmm.
Well, I've tried, you know, I took it easy for a little bit after I had some issues. But then, you know, I just continue doing what I'm doing. But I was going to say, on a final kind of thought, there's a game called, do you ever hear of Super Mario Crossover? You know what that is?
Is that the Flash game that you play as a billion different characters?
Yeah, you can go through Mario Brothers as Link, as Samus, as...
Yes, I have heard of this.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So that game, I don't know if it got it nailed, but what they ended up doing was they tried to create an original version with clone characters. Like, we're talking the same gameplay, same attributes, even to some extent the same walking animations, but mm-hmm. like Mario's yeller. He's yellow and he's got a miner's hat. He's yeller. He ain't much of a, he's a coward. But in this case, they took all the characters and made them clones. And then they did a Kickstarter that failed. And I got to show you guys, it's called Glitch Strikers now.
Okay.
It's, like the question mark blocks in Mario are now exclamation mark blocks.
Okay.
This is my favorite.
Well, I wanted to say something a bit about the Nintendo bit, like just on contrast here, we did a video of new Super Mario Brothers U, and it was a two-parter, and we put the first one up and we got threatened and we fucking cowarded the fuck
out.
Well,
there's a more recent example because with the Persona thing.
So you have huge balls, Vinny, sir, and you stand your ground, and that is immensely respectable because we're super duper cowards.
What am I gonna be? Well, I don't need to be brave. I'm a piece of shit.
We are awful is this, Will? And have the new Super Brother, new Super Mario Brothers U was at least 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, it was quite a time ago.
And Persona was, of course, you know,
quite recent.
Yeah.
Persona so thing is, yeah. We demonstrate no bravery whatsoever.
The instant anyone gets side in my face, I'm like, yeah, okay.
channel wise, we just go, nah, not worth it, and run away like huge spineless.
Time for another Cabela game.
The collective channel's tail is right between its legs, and that's totally where we live. Yes. So, props to you, sir.
Congrats,
for
Vinny.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I mean, there's a lot at stake for me, but I think Nintendo's also very slowly changing their policy because around the time Super Mario Maker came out, they nuked a channel. I forget his name. I really wish I remembered.
They nuked the channel.
He was a really good Kaizo. Like, I think he made Kaizo levels. He streamed Kaizo games.
Okay.
And
yeah. Okay.
He had 10,000 subs. 10,000 subs. The dude made the news. Like, massive news stories about a guy who lost his channel with 10,000 subs. So when Nintendo came after me, you know, I don't think they realized at first that I had a couple hundred thousand subs and everything.
Quite a few more than that, yeah.
And so I said to myself, and I, you know, I don't want to go into full detail. I really, really don't want to bring up too much, but I'll say this. I had some contact, and at one point I said to myself, I could remove all of my best videos, all of the stuff that people like for me, which is like corruptions, Mario 64 stuff, mm-hmm. the stuff that I like to do from a company that I grew up with that put me in a good spot when I was having bad times in my life because of some lawyers in Japan, or I could stand my ground. And if shit really goes down, I'm gonna make it public, and I'm gonna go. You know, I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna use this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fight it. You know, and I made that decision, and then I think around that time they started kind of backing away a little bit about with some things, and you know, by the grace of God, I still exist to this day, and I just streamed a ROM hack of Mario 64 where every texture was my face. It was.
Well, yeah, I got a great idea.
Unholy.
I got a great idea that our friend Vinny has just opened my eyes to. So, Vinny, could you do us a favor and start a Persona 5 LP? And you keep it like a week ahead of ours. And at the beginning, we'll start ours. And then at the beginning of our episode, hey, did you see this guy? Mm-hmm. He's really brave. Mm-hmm. And go talk to him about this. And then just Vinny can he can stand his ground for us, so Vinny, and then he'll just take it.
So what you do is you put on the canary suit, and we put you in a cage, and then we go into the mine shaft.
Yeah.
And we keep our eye out to see if you drop dead or not.
Oh, man, they're really coming after Vinny, huh? Oh, boy. Oh, I hope he wins that.
Oh, God, the bird's dead.
Boy.
The bird's dead.
Ooh-wee.
Listen, no, I'm with you guys on that, because I would feel the same way. I would want my own guinea pig, but here's the thing. I'm not into Persona, sorry.
Oh, darn.
And also streaming is a little different too, because this is a new thing now where people are saying you can't stream portions of our game. Like, I haven't seen that yet. I know Sega did it with Puyo Tetris in Japan, the Japanese version.
Yeah, they did.
And I love Puyo Tetris. I've been streaming it, but they're like, oh, you can't have the story mode on your stream. And I was like, wait a minute. Why is this now? This is not a good precedent to set. This is like, you know, as a streamer, I'm horrified at what could come next. It's like, why can't we share the game with the people that want to see the game? You know, I've inspired sales. I've heard a lot of people tell me they buy games because I stream them. They bought Zelda because I streamed it, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
We hear the same thing consistently of like, particularly with the Yakuza 4 play, which Sega is iffy on. And we got so many people going, I didn't know this shit existed. I bought a copy.
And, you know, there's always that. And there's always the like, I love when, I mean, obviously, it's nice when, like, someone who did work on a game or is involved goes, oh, my God, whoa, hey, cool, thanks, you know?
That is always nice.
That's always fun. So when you see it goes the opposite way, it's not fun. And there's always, I mean, there's an invisible thing where even if you're playing something and you kind of know that, like, oh, the dev fucking hates that you're even doing this. Like, I'm like, I don't like that. But, you know, Vinny, they're calling you Tony Montana. Your message today is fuck the police. Correct? Am I getting you on the record?
Well, I got a bunch of risk takers in here. Hang on a second. Fan game, stream everything.
let me add to the fan game thing. I wouldn't risk. There are certain risks I would not take. There are certain risks I would not take because I do not need like legal shit in my life. I already have a hard time making pizza or like managing, you know, like fucking taxes and bills. So if I had to do legal advice or I had to like have a lawyer in my life for like something related to a fan game, that would suck. So there are risks I wouldn't take. I'm not that brave. But in this case, yeah, I felt like it was the right choice. But in other cases,
yeah,
I don't. What's up?
You won't be bullied off of your channel, basically.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, Nintendo stuff I like, and I want to, you know, play it, so I'm gonna fucking play it. But the other thing is, when it comes to like, if I were releasing a fan game, and there's a chance that I could get sued into oblivion, I don't know if I would take that risk. So it's just a case by case basis. You know, you gotta, how much balls do you have if you're making fan games, and what, you know, weigh the pros and cons. Yeah. One, you might get some attention from the media. Two, you might get your game out, but three, you might also be in a legal battle for the next 5 years of your life. So,
and you just reminded me of something really interesting too, was there was another attorney that weighed in on the, because a big part of how that video spread was because it hit our games and was on top there for a while. And another attorney weighed in and basically said something that was the complete, not complete opposite, but his position, the other attorney's position was the problem with like just going, don't do this, stop it, and and taking the stance that you know VGA brought up, mm-hmm. is that it basically ends up being one where you are playing damage control as the legal defense for the person, mm-hmm. instead of trying to get a judgment in your favor. Mm-hmm. So you basically accept the circumstances the way they are. And he was saying that, like, why not perhaps take the stance of trying to challenge mm-hmm. the law and challenge the way things are to see if you can get a completely overturned, you know, ruling that basically can set precedent for the future, so that if people want to fight against this, they have grounds to.
That's the point, yeah.
And I mean, again, when you build a legal case and if you get pulled into court for this, like, you can choose how you want to approach it. You can go for that instead of going for the settlement, or instead of going for, you know, a smaller judgment, you know?
Well, it depends on who among us is the bravest, who among us is willing to fight, you know?
I think I have a solution. And the solution is, don't ever make anything of value that you wouldn't just abandon right away. Because that way it's just easy to just give up on stuff. And that includes your children.
So, okay. So what you're saying is, fuck integrity.
Yeah.
It's a worthless concept.
No, fuck the value of created works.
I see.
Not okay. integrity.
By the way, you should probably take that t-shirt off.
Why is that?
It's infringing on a million copyrights right now. And
oh, man.
Well, if somebody from Fatal Fury wants to see my nips, yeah. I guess that's fine.
I should probably take my shirt off, too, because this is not an official Skullamania tee, however. You know, I don't.
Do you want me to take my shirt off?
I mean, if right that's now? Where this is podcast
that,
is
that where
going,
it has to go?
I don't.
Oh God! You
I don't
guys need
like
to stop. I'm feeling so infringed.
No, I'm not, you're infringing on my nipple rights.
Okay. Well, I'm just.
You don't want to see the design that's on them.
Yeah,
because that's infringing.
That's
real
bad. That's real bad. We don't want to go there. But anyway, you know, that's all it is. I think is just like there's a weird place where we tend to operate in Vinny, what we do as a job is something that, you know, precedent has shown that like the company can cut us down. And in the it's similar. It's funny how similar to fan games it is, actually.
Yes.
You know, where we're just
well, all that really matters is the feeling of a company going, hey, fucking stop that. And you're like, oh, but I thought it was cool. No, it's not cool.
How many thousands of dollars have I spent on Nintendo products only to, you know. But so I mean one part of it, you know.
But you destroyed more than that with your ROM hack video.
Well,
destroyed that value.
And then there's the et cetera. Yeah, some can argue it's like, no, actually we're helping your brand by doing whatever. It's up to
them. Well, I celebrate the brand.
I mean, helped David Cage's brand.
I mean,
people are not stupid. I mean, that's the thing with Zelda coming out. Zelda has proven that Nintendo gamers want something that's a little unconventional, that doesn't hold your hand, that allows you to do whatever you want, and maybe is a little challenging.
Yeah.
And I think that people are smart enough to realize that you are playing a ROM hack, especially when I start my stream with, hey guys, I'm playing a ROM hack, or hey, this is corruptions, this is forced glitches. Like, people are not stupid. So if they're watching me play a segment called Bad Mario Fan Games, it doesn't hurt Mario's you know, integrity. If Nintendo's going to go after one fan game, they need to go after fan fiction of Mario and Luigi kissing each other gently, tenderly, in the moonlight, taking each other's overalls off slowly.
Listen.
Mustaches entwined. They need to go after that. Then they need to go after like people who draw Mario a little weird.
Hi. Vinny, you have completely sold me on this. You're right. They need to go after everyone.
But then
if we can kill fan fiction, it will all be worth it.
Okay, but then it becomes the adventures of Lario and Luigi.
If we can fuck up those weirdo supernatural Doctor Who fucking Sherlock fans, the world. Oh man, excited.
All you have to do is change the names, and you get 50 Shades of Grey.
Ah, damn it!
You become a millionaire.
So what you're saying is all you got to do is change the names and make it Dario and
I said
Luigi.
Speaking of, I said Lario and Luigi.
Lario.
Manny in Glitch Strikers, the trailer I just linked you, Wooly, definitely check that out when you get a chance. They call him Manny. The level is almost exactly the same as Mario 1. The Goombas are just square. That's the difference. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty. You can do that. You can change little details. But it's just such a weird thing. Like Sega, I want to just bring up Sega for a second because Sega hired, I believe they hired someone who made fan games at one point, and they were like, wow, this guy made really good stuff. Let's hire him. Let's bring him on. They brought him on, and it's like everyone was like, Sega is so cool. You know, so many companies are just taking down stuff. Sega gave this guy a job. And then Sega's like, you can no stream story mode in Puyo, baby game Puyo. You know,
you want to talk about Extreme? The ultimate that Sega ever did was they took down everybody's Shining Force videos and all their channels, so that their Shining Force like fucking Gaiden video could be the top of YouTube search results. That's the number one.
My Bayonetta stuff got something weird happened there. I mean, Sega didn't have anything to do with that, did they?
I don't know, maybe.
But in any case, yeah, I had some issues with, I think it was Sega, but yeah, they do cool shit and then they do stupid shit. And it's just like, wow, can we get a consistent kind of stance on this stuff, please?
We'll never get a consistent because it literally depends on whose desk it hit.
Yep. Yeah, it was so weird when like the No did a big, did an episode talking about this whole thing. And
this
stuff.
Man is trying to ruin your life.
Stance was, we all feel the way he does, but we're all ignorant and don't know the laws just like he does, and here's the lawyer.
So let's just dump it all on him.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. I can't, you know. So anyway,
fun fact, a lot of people don't know this. Wooly's really bashful. He is in fact a lawyer. He went to law school. He's totally a lawyer. All of his advice is legally sound.
In Quebec, I have to pass the bar elsewhere for it to actually be a thing.
You totally beat me on that. Come on, 100% crushed that.
But
that's damn it.
But if you're out there and you have a fan fiction and you want to release 50 Shades of Dario, then come talk to me and I can at least get you distribution in Quebec.
All right. Just put it on fanfiction.net or whatever the fuck it is, right?
Throw that shit up on Wooly Versus.
Oh, yeah?
Dario have a mustache? Does he have a mustache?
Yeah, and you have to work for him. He runs a wrestling league. It's a whole other thing.
Okay.
I wish Dario had a mustache. I wish.
All right.
Okay, we did enough damage control for your bullshit now?
Is that what that is?
I think it was. So now people aren't going to come to your house with pitchforks. And be like, I'm going to jail because of your video.
I have thought about just throwing up another video of me saying all this.
Don't do that. That is cowardice. Stick to your guns.
No, no. The cowardice is pulling the video down, which I'd never do.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
No. Fuck you. Hell no. No. But what I would do is comment on what I already said. And yeah, you know, it's just what I say comes with caveats that, you know, you should take into account is all. But
post a video of you eating glue, and it's like, would you trust this man with your legal matters?
And I wouldn't expect someone who operates in that world to ever like even wink at you to condone you wearing an unofficial shirt and having fan art on your phone and listening to unofficial covers, and you know what I mean? Like, we have art that's printed on the walls here that was
unsanctioned. I got licenses for all this.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
It's all legit.
The fucking perlers on our wall over there.
Perler? Oh, that's what those are called.
Yeah, you know, like I would never expect someone that works in the world of defending that to wink and agree at that. Like, no. But we live in an operating gray zone of like, yeah, we just kind of do it hoping that no one's going to come after us. Aha.
Luckily, there are brave souls out there like Vinny here.
Not that brave. So please don't give me this reputation.
Well, after you know, you basically like standing your ground. I mean, where we look like huge yellow bellied fucks.
That's fine. I can live.
Yeller.
Yeller bellied. That's what we
I got
are.
No problem with that.
Man,
which that is the color of Manny from Glitch Strikers. He's yeller.
It's true.
God, I don't even think we can get into like a full docket here because we discussed a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, we can talk about
some foibles were had.
Some of the highlights, and then some quick letters. Because
we did the Prey story, and we did the Mass Effect thing also. Yeah. So those technically counted.
Yeah, I mean, the other things to get excited about are Vanquish coming to PC.
Woo! Oh, by the way, I recently played, or actually, my girlfriend played Bayo on PC, and I fucked around with settings. It's a really good port. It's not like. It's not like Automata. It's not like Rising, where it's a platinum game in which is like, it's okay on PC. No, the Bayonetta port is fantastic. It has everything that you would want, all the options that you would like. It makes me really excited for Vanquish.
Very excited for Vanquish. That being said, if you somehow missed Vanquish,
you're a bad person,
and you should get on that. You should fix that problem. It's a problem.
I haven't played Vanquish, Will.
Well,
you should.
Now you get the chance to have the ultimate Vanquish
experience. Well, here's the thing, Vinny. The best part about Vanquish, you stream quite regularly, yes?
Almost every day.
And you stream late into the night?
Yes.
You can stream Vanquish, beat it, and then play something else. Because that game is short.
Is that short?
That game is short.
What are we talking, like four or five hours?
Yeah,
Just sold me on it. You just sold me on it.
It's a third-person shooter, as you know them, with the Platinum Touch.
Love it. I love Platinum. Let's do it.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Vanquish coming to PC. And I like how in the trailer that they go frame rate unlocked. Resolution unlocked in the same way that the actual ARS is unlocked in the game. It's fucking dope.
I saw a lot of PC diehards going like, oh, why are they advertising unlocked frame rate on a PC? That's how it should be. Like, no, because it's a Vanquish.
It's referencing the game. It's referencing the thing. Guys. Relax.
Think before you type, please. Think.
Ringo? Huh?
Yeah, is that Ringo going into?
Yeah. It's not with bad. Peace and love. I request that you toss your comments and think before you speak.
I didn't know we were getting characters today.
This is weird.
I didn't expect
this.
Hey,
I'll stop.
All right. No more.
Do the rest of
Rick and
podcast.
Morty now.
No.
All right.
Okay.
I'm not gonna dance.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Look. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. I'm not gonna dance for you, Morty.
We were talking about difficulty and whatnot and so on and Zelda games. Well, the Breath of the Wild DLC has been detailed. I still think that the how much was it? $20?
$20.
That's a lot.
The hard mode doesn't change as much as I thought it was going to.
So what you're getting in the DLC first pack, because you're getting two packs for $20. I don't know what the individual prices are going to be.
The second one apparently has like a new part of the world.
But yeah, like a dungeon and stories.
So the stuff that you're getting in this, there's one thing that's fucking like, Trial of the Sword is the thing that you go through. It's the Cave of Trials from the previous games.
Yeah.
And when you get through it in this game, it makes your Master Sword always powered up.
Yep.
So that's cool.
AKA probably unbreakable.
The Hero's Path is a feature that tracks 200 hours of progress of where you started and where you end up, so that at the end you can see a giant map of all the places you've been and where you haven't been. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that to complete like your exploration. Super smart. Wished it was there from the get-go.
So that and the dubbing choice changes frustrate me a lot, because those are features that would have been a lot more interesting to me before I had done 99% of the game.
Yeah, I know. Same here.
And I'm not going to play 130 more hours the same.
Yeah.
Like, the implications through the whole game over on hard mode.
Well, dude, there's even there's like the Korok mask that lets you rumbles or whatever when nearby.
Yaha, bitches.
Like, yeah, there's features and costumes that are coming in to help you complete, you know? But the hard mode has like enemies on floating platforms now, and every enemy rank goes up by one, therefore introducing a new rank into the game.
I am very disappointed in that hard mode. I expected survival mechanics.
Yeah, I wanted survival stuff.
I expected the necessity of food, the necessity of rest, and food degradation.
I think your Cave of Trials is going to be the closest thing, because it's
Wooly, that is a completely different kind of thing. It's a different kind of experience.
Where you have to take constant breaks.
Yeah, and in which scrounging is not like build it all up, but now I'm invincible for the rest of the game.
The funny part is that the mechanics all exist.
Yeah, that's why I was baffled that that wasn't included.
All those things
are there. If it was a PC game, this would be called Frostfall or Hypothermia.
Sure. I would have liked from hard mode, just on a quick side note, the ability to not use food while you're in combat, and that would have been enough for me, because then it means like, well, I guess I could do that by myself if I really wanted to challenge myself.
I hear somebody, they're saying, well, you could just implement that challenge on yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the answer is no, I actually do need a mode to make me.
Otherwise, you'll just do it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll just do it the instant you can.
Just which specific thing?
Don't use food in combat.
Yeah, okay, well, you know. There's the costumes, including like the Majora's Mask stuff, Tingle, Midna's helmet, Phantom armor, and then of course we saw like all the amiibo hacks where they have the full Fierce Deity mask and some shit like that. So
I'm not gonna say coming. I have the Fierce Deity outfit, but I do.
No, do you have an NFC spoofer?
Someone sent me a card. Don't ask.
Somebody sent you a. Nope.
That's simple. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Oh, is the IO news in there, by the way?
IO's in there as well. Oh, yeah, let's really touch on that. Basically, Square Enix pulled out of IO, so the company's not shutting down, but the part that was owned by Square has pulled out, and they're looking to see if they can find a new investor.
Now, granted, this is not the company has been dissolved. This is not the company is bankrupt. This is not doom and gloom.
It's not even that. It's not even Hitman's day.
And Hitman Season 2, by the way, Hitman is still totally owned by IO. And yeah. Hitman Season 2 is apparently still coming.
It doesn't even mean Hitman's dead. It just means that they are not involved with Square Enix anymore.
I saw people freaking out. And
oh, the Hitman Reddit was going
and nuts. I wanted to be like, no. What is happening is not what you think is happening.
It means, if anything, they can get another investor. And that could be good.
Like a nice, upstanding investor, like... Bethesda.
If they don't, then
or the EA.
Until they do, the countdown clock starts.
Yeah, because money.
Yeah, so you exist on a bleed,
money required,
and then eventually you're bleeding out too hard, and then you got to staunch the flow.
But didn't Hitman the previous one? They tried to go episodic, and it didn't work out so well for them in terms of sales.
And then they compiled it onto a disc and have Hitman Professional as like the full game.
And the other thing about Hitman is that Hitman is fantastic. It's probably the best one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the episodic release. I saw a lot of people very into it because they had time for one Hitman mission, but like I don't like that release schedule at all.
I don't know. I have a lot of weird opinions based on internal factors of being there at the time.
Tell me about Blood Money again.
Hey, what is there to say, right? It's just, you know, like some decisions were good, some were bad, and here we are. The funny thing, though, with what ties into this actual story, because yeah, I imagine Hitman's going to be fine.
Oh yeah.
As soon as we hear who's interested,
yeah.
But
Capcom. This is just me jerking myself off.
That's weird.
Can we get the Hitman in Marvel Infinite?
Well,
what?
Here's what's related.
No,
is also Square Enix news is there's a Thief film apparently in development, and on the film's website, they specifically state that a fifth Thief game is being worked on.
Boy,
so
I have
they broke this before Square did themselves.
I tell you what, for no reason because I never heard anything. I'm very confident that this will have no problems at all in being. I have no faith in this game.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, hold on. No, wait, no. The story's been updated. And David Alfonsi, who's a cool guy? He's a cool guy. He's a nice guy.
Oh.
He tweeted out saying, apparently we're developing a Thief game. So now we have a title. We just have to build a team, a budget. Forget it. So, never mind.
4 minutes of this podcast. Yeah.
I did click over onto the studio's website to see where the quote was.
Yeah.
And it was in the introduction paragraph, which I guess has been edited out here. Yeah. Yeah, it's been edited out.
Movie people.
Oh, no. Here we go. A fifth sequel is currently in development to be released in step with this motion picture.
That is literally adaptation. What we were talking about earlier, in which it's like, look. This is based off a thing that's happening. See?
You'd recognize it.
It's not new. That's good, right?
You recognize it. It makes you feel comfortable.
I'm clapping.
You feel comfortable because you know what it is.
I clap when I saw it was a video game.
I heard that name before.
I fucking love those guys. So
yeah.
Me too. So,
Yeah, that's a weird thing. But, you know, again, Alphonse just said, like, fuck you, basically. So maybe not.
This whole thing was engineered to fuck with you.
Hey, guys, quickly, go get Alan Wake before it's pulled down forever off of Steam.
Did people have time?
I bought it this morning.
When's that happening?
Today, the 15th, Monday, when this is being recorded, and not Tuesday when it's actually coming out, is the final day. So this sale is happening right now. So if you want Alan Wake PC, it's going to be pulled off today. So
yeah, it's basically
it's a 90% off sale.
The music in it is the license is running out.
Yeah, so the game's $5 or less than $5.
It's $3 for the original Alan Wake.
$5 for the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
they're good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
So go grab that if you haven't. Here's what's dumb, and here's what I hate about the story. The reasons why this is being pulled down is because the music license for Alan Wake are expiring. So they're going to basically completely make the game not exist anymore for retail because those licensed tracks are gone.
Oh, shit.
Could you imagine a film disappearing entirely because its music license expired?
I'm going to imagine that this has totally occurred.
For sale. So,
2001 Space Odyssey, relevant. Sorry, can't have the rights to Beethoven or whoever. Sorry, gone. Can't sell it anymore. You can't see this. You're infringing on our rights.
So
cease
every
and desist,
time
citizen.
Really? Really? I didn't know that.
No, wow, I'm lying. But imagine.
Okay, I'm like,
wow, you got fucking punked, man. You believe that?
Because the whole point of what I'm saying
Beethoven's
is
Beethoven's like four.
Until like unless I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about,
is dead.
Unless I have no idea what it's classical music. That would be crazy.
He's very dead.
So unless I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, when films have licensed music, it's in the credits. It's a part of the film. It's there. They don't have to worry about a time limit to how long they can use this music for.
I can't stand these deals. They make me so mad. There's a fucking, what is it in Mega Man Legends? A fucking photo of a goddamn root beer or something on some fucking vending machine that Capcom lost the rights to because it's a real vending. Like, fuck off.
It's annoying because like I feel like it's the only medium dealing with this shit.
You know who's cool? Is it Energizer? Yeah, Energizer's cool.
Okay.
Because their ads in Alan Wake, which are totally tension annihilating.
Yep.
They'll never go away. And they're cool with it staying that way forever.
It's an actual argument for the EA style connect to the servers to load up the ad server to load the ads.
No, it's
into
not.
The game.
It's an argument for
not doing it.
Is the music deal you're making have a time limit on it?
Yeah.
And at the end of the time limit, does it say the thing comes off for sale? If the answer is yes, don't make that deal.
No, okay, sorry. I was referring to the crazy Mega Man thing you just talked about.
Yeah.
Because that's an ad, not music.
Oh, it's the worst.
But, yeah, music having a time limit for this medium is stupid, and films don't have to deal with this shit. Yeah. It sucks the games.
Well, yeah, but games are stupid, and they have no value. So, movies, that's a real thing that matters.
Like, imagine...
Like Birdemic.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The closest thing I can think of is that it happens with MTV shows, because Daria... for example, and Downtown, and just about every cartoon that started out as an MTV cartoon had licensed music from MTV because they have broadcast rights to that music, but you can't put it anywhere else, so all that music goes away, and when you release Daria or anything else on DVD, they're not going to have that music.
I feel like...
Beavis and Butthead, 60% of the content of Beavis and Butthead disappears.
That's all music videos.
I feel like TV, like MTV shows specifically, what you're talking about, and games both have a similar problem that movies don't have in public perception, and that's the view that they are somewhat transitory, right? Like, and game developers do this as well. I mean, we've talked about how back in the day, Sega, people are walking through the offices and people are literally dumping fucking master copies and design documents into fireplaces.
Yep.
Once the game is shipped. And the view that, like, oh, it's just games. Who cares about this? I imagine around the table, it's like, oh, who cares? It'll be 10 years from now when the game comes out. No, I don't care about Alan Wake. No, Alan Wake's still a good game. And it's still playable under my... Because film doesn't have that problem. Because film will almost always, as long as there's a release of it, right? There'll be some medium that plays it.
Well, again, imagine, whereas imagine if you will, like Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or 2. Every time you hit play, because music is such an integral part of this, of that movie, yeah. You fucking get free unlicensed music.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know,
that'd be great.
Royalty free. Well, also, tracks.
What would you do with Let's Plays of Alan Wake that are already online? Like, you know, are they going to go and take them all down?
Well, has YouTube claimed their videos because they heard tracks that are already copyrighted?
I'm sure it's happened.
You know?
Yeah.
We had to skate with some wrestling games that had, like, flags because of the music.
And
the
we somehow found a way around it.
Somehow. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, it's stupid. And, like, again, these are the only fucking things that have to the only medium dealing with this crap.
It's, you know? It's the kind of thing. Well, I'll appreciate a good piece of licensed music in a game that is, like, properly paced and well fit in. But nearly every time I hear licensed music in a game, I think about something like this. I think about, like, here's a good example. When we did a Saints Row 3 video, for Machinima way back, there is a sequence in which you're jumping out of a helicopter to crash a rooftop swimming party, and fucking Kanye West's Power is playing over the whole scene.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there were problems with that because it's like, YouTube's going to come. Right? It's like, but it's part of the game, right? It doesn't. And it's like, and I think about, like, is Saints Row 3 ever going to get re-released with the same soundtrack? Probably not. I seriously doubt it.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk.
Tony fucking
Thank
Hawk.
You. Thank you for the perfect example of Holy how shit. Those re-releases were kind of fucked up because they didn't have the right soundtrack.
That is exactly – that is the best example. Yes. And I almost don't want to play Tony Hawk without the music.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's what made it so great. That was part of what made it great. I mean, it also got me into so much music that I would have never discovered had I not played the Tony Hawk series. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're just hurting themselves because, you know, music is in a lot of ways evergreen. Like, you know, people are still buying Pink Floyd records. People are still buying Beatles, Zeppelin. It's just because it's timeless. It's good music. And to discover that music, you know, you might want to go back and buy a record. You might want to go back and you know, check out their discography. So they're just hurting themselves, in my
opinion.
Make
all your own original music, please.
I mean, you know, something like, or just go the route of Revengeance or KI, where you get the artist whose music you like to make your OST.
Yes.
You know?
That's a cool idea,
that's
too.
A very good idea.
So, let's get right into the mails because there's some other
stories. Hey, if you want to send an email to us and ask us a stupid question that we'll hopefully give you a stupid answer for, send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. Vinny, could you finish that off for me?
Yes.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome.
It's okay.
Wait, well, that's okay. That's the email address, everyone. Go to it
yep.
and stuff.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, that's I love fucking with our guests.
So, let's see what we got coming in here.
Bad email number one comes in from
Hokuto no Kun.
Yeah?
Wow!
That's why we have Wooly read the emails.
Dear Super Worst Legal Advisors, recently, I experienced something odd when watching a show. A big reveal happened, and I was surprised, but then I remembered I'd been slightly spoiled by it a year prior.
That is a super weird experience. I hate that.
Have you ever been spoiled by something and forgot enough to be genuinely surprised? Yeah, I'd say that happens to everybody.
I can't remember any off the top of my
head. And I don't want to give context in case it ruins it for somebody.
I have had the thing.
I love it.
Where, I forget what game, honestly, but I was playing, and the big moment happens, and my thought process was, oh, that's what that guy was talking about.
Way back when, yeah. Yeah.
Way back when.
Yeah.
Because at the time that he was telling me, I had no idea what he was talking about.
And actively, like, I know, like, sometimes, like, if it's something I don't know anything about the series or whatever, it doesn't matter because it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
But if it does stick, I, like, try to forget in weird ways. And if you wait long enough, eventually you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But then it'll hit, and then you'll go, oh, which is the best you can hope for. Has it ever happened to you, Vinny?
Yeah, I've forgotten some things. If I play a game that's like, you know, 2 years after release, I usually tend to forget whatever spoilers were big at the time. But I try to spoil myself more so that there's like all kinds of fake spoilers and misinformation in there. So I don't know what to believe.
That's I want to give a big thumbs up, big shout out to all the all you fake spoiler troll assholes out there.
Is that going to be the name of the episode?
Telling people bullshit and character deaths that don't happen. You people are the best, and that's the best. That's my favorite. I have had things saved for me due to liars.
I have had
the kind of like twist ending kind of things ruined for me. It's like, oh man. And then somebody just goes, oh, that's not actually what happens. Actually, it's this. And they have a more plausible spoilery thing that's completely wrong and made up. Mm-hmm. And they've saved it for me. And I appreciate that.
It takes foresight. It takes foresight and empathy. It's a good thing. It's a good thing when you fake spoil. Thanks, Hokuto no Kun. You're already black. Let's take one from
there's.
Oh, by the way, underlying current huge, big, big racism. By the way, in case you didn't know what you were associating with, Finny, just letting you know.
Oh, what?
I thought when you said Kun, it was K-U-N, like the Japanese.
Unfortunately,
like the term of
that's not what the person who wrote the letter wrote.
No, they're just into trash pandas, dude.
Huge. Uncomfortable racist undercurrents.
Yeah, you know, well, we really got to talk about it. You need to cut down
on
all your racism. It's very uncomfortable.
Does that include me existing?
Yeah, I'm over here totally and you're bringing me down here. You're down.
What am I doing? I made a mistake. I got to go, guys.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Big, big mistakes. Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Vinny met me in real life, so he knows.
I know.
Okay. All right. Because I'll never – we had Xavier Woods on the podcast before from wrestling, and, like, it was just this great moment where, like, obviously he has no idea who I am, so like, I was talking whatever. Oh, are you of the dark persuasion? I was just like, oh.
Is that how he said it?
I believe it was something that was close to those words.
Oh,
and
so
it
good.
Was – right to the core. It felt great.
Whoa.
All in.
Wow.
Congrats, Wooly. It's working. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Get away from that as fast as possible.
Yep. Okay, let's take the last one from Green Goblin 86. He says, "Dear Super Whatever, I was at an Injustice tournament and I was paired up to fight a 7-year-old child. I'm 30.
Yeah.
Was genuinely surprised at how skilled the kid was. Doing cross-ups, waiting for confirmations, properly defending. He was legit better than me at the game. So I scummed him out using stage damage and supers and secured a win.
Yeah.
He had the crowd on his side and I was even complimenting him.
Yeah.
But a light left his eyes as I was slamming him multiple times with the pig projectile in the Arkham stage.
Yeah.
Did I teach the kid that nothing's off limits at a tournament, or did I hinder his ability to enjoy the game?
You did both, and you did a great job. You destroyed that kid's spirit, and fuck that kid. He needs it.
Commendable.
He'll be strengthened.
Absolutely.
Now he'll come back with a greater fervor and fire within his soul.
Or he'll cry and never play Injustice again. But you did the right thing, and that's what matters.
The important thing is that you sped that process up. That will happen inevitably. That will happen. Somebody will destroy you and be a cunt about it. So it's better to get it out of the way early when you're weak so you can move past it.
Look, man, you toss the kid off the mountainside so we can climb back up.
The kid shows up to a fight club, you kick that kid's ass, break him, throw him off the mountain into the volcano.
We know this, all right? The Heihachi...
Kazuya became a huge badass.
The Heihachi daycare methods are super effective and need to be respected.
That's true.
All right? Simple as that. Let's get into what's coming up, what's coming out, and then let's get out of here.
All right. What new you got anything coming up on Wooly versus again?
Let's start with Vinny.
Oh, whoopsie. I fucked up.
So what do I got coming up?
Yeah, man.
What's going on your channel and what are you looking forward to?
I don't know. Nothing.
No, that's great. Right.
That's valid.
That's valid.
I'm streaming Mario RPG. I've been streaming for 7 years, and you know, I've never streamed RPG, which is weird, but I love the game. I'm going to be, you know, this week going to be tackling it, and I've been streaming a little bit of Dead Cells. Got done with Zelda a few weeks ago, and yeah, stuff like that. I've been also Puyo Tetris is pretty great, really addictive. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has been a lot of fun. So I mean, if you stop by my channel, you'll see me scream and rage and be salty at Mario Kart. And I guess in terms of other things I'm doing, I got an album coming out, second album, my band coming out in a few months. So there's that. If you like rock music, yeah.
What's the band?
It's called Red Vox, not to be confused with Red Box or Red Cox.
Don't want to make that mistake.
Don't ever make that mistake. Definitely not like my business cards that say Red Box Band. Don't ever make that mistake. Yeah, it's bad. Or like the dude who sent me two red dildos to compliment the release of our first album. For real.
I mean, sometimes people celebrate in different ways.
Never know, man.
Okay. Will you be playing Puyo Tetris Story Mode on stream?
The Japanese version is the one off limit. Apparently, okay. I can stream, and I have streamed the story mode a little
that
bit.
Activity. I can't condone that.
But breaking the law.
I can't tell you
breaking
that if you are going to do it, that you should probably shut the fuck up about it.
Well, the good news is,
doing his plug, he has to tell us.
The good news is, I'm not interested in the story very much. I know it's silly and funny and all that, but I've been just playing the Puyos and dropping them into the things because they look like Korok seeds.
What's a Puyo?
Poop.
It's one of the little.
Is it poop? Seriously?
It's one of the little dudes from the puzzle that you. It's like, you know, the Puyos.
I have no idea.
Okay,
I know what Tetris is.
You know what? Your life will not be enriched in any way by knowing the answer to that.
That's
question.
Cool. I can live with that.
Good.
Yep.
Cool.
How about you guys?
Over on the main channel, of course, we've got more Yakuza.
Much more. We may have to do it with, there's going to be a spot missing, depending if Matt gets back tomorrow. So we're going to have to do one off something probably.
It'll
probably be a one off, earlier on Wednesday.
And there's definitely, you know, Matt and mine Night in the Woods continues, as does, the crimes in LA Noir.
No, so, man, solving crimes,
creating crimes in Night in the Woods, solving crimes in LA Noir. Reading facial expressions and making stupid guesses.
It has to listen. Is this guy guilty? Oh, dude. Oh, so the subtle facial cues of LA Noir.
Well, I love that they show the old guy example where he's like, "Was there anything else in that wallet or whatever?" He's like, "What? No, I didn't see anything."
It's Larry Daviding all over the fucking place. It's so fucking bad.
Pretty empty wallet. Anyway, so that's going to be going down. And over on Wooly Versus, of course, there's I don't know if I've got any other stank PSAs to or stank.
Stank?
No, you want stank DSAs.
Yeah. Yep.
Stank DSLs.
Oh, Wooly's getting a phone call.
Yeah.
You almost made
almost
it. You came
made it.
So close.
Almost made
right
it.
Right before we sat down, he's like, I might get a phone call that I actually have to take.
Yeah.
And
no
what,
avoiding it.
We're within, like, what, 4 minutes?
It sucks. It sucks. I was like, maybe. Fuck. All right. Well, we tried.
So tell me about your stank DSAs.
Look, there's no more stank DSAs, but there's Stankonia. If you like Table Lords, you can watch more of that.
Such a good segue.
And, of course, there's more Naruto. And
always more Naruto.
More guns to heads. And, in fact, a couple other, like, stupid shitpost ideas that I'm brewing in the chamber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to brew in the chamber before it comes out.
Is it spicy?
And then you upload it, and then the internet takes it, whether they like it or not.
That's
over on Wooly Versus. What about you, Pat?
Hey, I'm proud. You know The Surge? You know that Dark Souls game that's not made by Dark Souls?
Yep.
That comes out in 2 hours.
Cool. That's good news.
So I learned earlier before the podcast, like, wait, this is coming out 6 p.m. on a Monday?
That's awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to go stream that over at Angriest Pat.
All right.
Because I need to know if it's good or not, and I can't find out whether it's good or not. There's no reviews. The like impressions are all over the place.
Extended gameplay footage looks fine.
I want this to be good so bad because of the setting.
Yeah.
I want that to be good so bad, but I'm afraid that it's because it's made by the Lords of the Fallen guys. I'm afraid that it's not going to be good.
Diesel Souls is what they called it.
So that's over at Pat Stares Out on Twitch. Hey, you never told Vinny. You didn't do you didn't finish your plug for your Twitch. You never said the Twitch
the location.
It's where just everything that you if you just Google Vine Sauce, you'll find me. I mean, on Twitch it's Vine Sauce, on YouTube it's Vine Sauce, and on Spotify it's Red Vox with a V, not a C.
Or a B.
If you hear a thwomp and a one up, then you're in the right place.
Vinny, does your business
infringing?
Oh my God! Look at you infringing on the law. Look at you going again, telling the man. How dare you brand yourself with an iconic piece of Nintendo music as your or sound effect for that matter as your brand's like identity? How dare you?
Can I get the Catholic Church getting after me for brand infringement of Patrick the Saint or whatever? Can I get that?
Actually, what?
You can. I'll tell you a little story very quick. That was unintentional. For one, when we started on live stream, I used the one up mushroom just because I was lazy.
Yeah.
I needed an icon, and people loved it. They ran with it, and then it became the vine shroom. So that was accidental. I didn't actually necessarily intend for the shroom to be our thing, but it kind of just did that naturally. And that video you saw with the sound effects, I commissioned El Cid to make an intro. And he just made that with the thwomp noise and the one up, and I was just lazy, so I left it. But unintentional, lazy, infringing. I guess I'm sorry. I don't know.
So the fun part about like the Kirby theme that is two best friends play is that it was used because the first game was Kirby's Epic Yarn.
And we just kept.
But then Matt was like, "How funny would it be if they were playing? What was the second game?
Silent Hill."
And you were like, "We're playing Silent Hill, and
let's
we
use
just
that super Kirby theme."
And then it was like, "Fuck it, why not?" And then Legend was born, horrible, or should I say, like not quite born as much as ripped out. And
It's still the de facto theme, but we try and get fancy intros made, which always have unique stuff themselves.
Matt and Pat.
Nope. Do I even know the person?
Thinking and John.
You see, everyone knows that song better than me.
Love and Friendship.
Nope.
Best friends play together. No. There was a lost theme song.
It was in like two episodes. It was like in two or three episodes, and the reaction was clear.
Was it clearer than the face cam idea?
It was not as clear as that.
If I may.
Not my idea.
If I may.
Feel free to throw Matt right under the table.
Was it?
Yep.
Because I remember standing on a soapbox and yelling at both of you how terrible that idea was.
Yep.
The parody is fine,
now, granted,
but not genuinely doing face
now,
cam.
Now, granted. Matt's going to come in, and he will correct me because I'm wrong, and it was probably my idea.
I swear I was yelling at you.
Yeah.
Going, this is the worst. It is everything we hate. Don't actually do it.
I'm just going to – Matt's not here to defend himself, so I'm just going to throw him right under that bus.
Oh, man.
For the record, I don't really do face cam either, but I've unfortunately played fake drums – with those two red dildos I told you about earlier.
You played fake drums with the dildo?
Yeah. It was like a fake iToy shovelware thing. You know, like the plug and plays? It was a camera, and there were drums, and I played the dildos with the drums. And that's one of the few times I've been on camera on my stream. Cool, right?
That's legendary. That's amazing.
Thanks, mate.
That's, you know, I mean, quite frankly, like, if you're going to put
We do streams, we always have a camera on us because everyone needs to see our disgusting bodies.
And if we're going to play a thing like...
Oh, is that funny to you, Vinny?
Yeah.
Is that hilarious?
It's kind of cool.
If we do stupid things like play fucking Ninja Turtles games and connect shit, and we can see how horrible and terrible that technology is, then you 1,000% need the camera running. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, no, there's times. There are times, man.
Face cam is disgusting, says man hosting a video podcast on Twitch.
Oh, hold on a minute.
disgusting bodies must be shown.
Yeah, pull the thing up so we can see it.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Xbox
doing its own thing.
You know what we're talking
about. I was going to do the single shot just to get all up in, like, the
pores.
Just
the pores.
Yeah, but that plays excellent for the listeners on the phone.
Oh, they know.
The 4K 60 frame per second.
They know what our faces look like. They've gotten in there. They've used the magnifying glass.
They wish they did.
HD face cam.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Oh, hey.
Welcome to Best Friends, where we got some HD cams.
Oh, you can't see. You know what? Let me pull up how bad this is. This
was bad. What did you
do? No. Explicit listening. It's mine. It's not going to
work. What did you do?
It's not going to work. I did.
Tell me what you did.
We're going to try and end the podcast here, and we're going to try to end it.
I'm only getting a side view of the laptop, and I see Willie opening more and more menus, and nothing's changing.
It's the dumbest. But
why
it's
is it saying guest Brennan Williams? That's super old. That was like 3 months ago.
Thanks for listening to the video games. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Vinny, for coming. Thank you for showing up.
Vinny, you're a very nice guest. I like
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Be sure to go check out Vine Sauce. Be sure to go check out Vinny at Vine Sauce.
And he does a lot of cool science stuff on his channel. It's really cool to watch.
in 6 seconds or less.
You shit.